next after the CBS News. Talk to you tomorrow.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. New York Governor Eliot Spitzer was a politician some Democrats thought might take a shot at Pennsylvania Avenue someday. Maybe not.
I've disappointed and failed to live up to the standard I expected of myself.
The former state attorney general, who'd made his career investigating corruption and before that organized crime, is named in federal court papers as involved with prostitutes in an operation called Emperor's Club VIP, the so-called Diamond Prostitutes bust of last week. CBS's Bob Orr.
It's important to know that Eliot Spitzer has not been indicted. Right now, he's not charged with any crime. But there is a long, lengthy list of indictments against the prostitution ring that details a liaison, which officials say involved Spitzer, on February 13th here in Washington.
People on the streets of New York who've heard a lot over the years were shaking their heads today.
Well, I think it's just a step down.
Well, it's terrible, but you don't know the details, so you can't make a snap judgment.
If he was a John, who cares? If he was actually involved in a criminal operation, he has to resign.
Spitzer made a statement today. He apologized. He did not resign, did not admit any legal culpability, and said he'd have more to say soon. Just in case anyone thought Barack Obama might jump at the chance to be Hillary Clinton's second fiddle.
I'm not running for vice president. I'm running for president of the United States of America.
The idea was floated this weekend by both the candidate and her husband, Bill. The Mississippi primaries are tomorrow. Obama is heavily favored. Boeing has decided it's worth making the challenge to ask the Air Force to rethink its $37 billion contract for the new air-to-air refueling tanker to Northrop Grumman and Airbus. Pentagon spokesman Jeff Morrell.
We believe this to have been a fair and transparent competition. Airbus won based upon the merits of their proposal.
The Air Force said fact is the Boeing plane just didn't really compete, not in performance, payload, endurance, construction schedule, or the price. Oil prices today, $107.90 a barrel, up $2.75. Distinctly unfriendly sound these days. AAA is predicting gasoline prices will hit a new record high tomorrow. Gasoline at wholesale closed today at $2.71 a gallon. Prices at the pump are in the $3.20 range on average. At least they were over the weekend. In Torrington, Connecticut, Mayor Ryan Bingham will hop into a wrestling ring with Kurt Adonis, a professional wrestler, soon. It's a grudge match for charity. The mayor is 24 years young, in pretty good shape. Hopes to acquit himself well, but Adonis says he plans to pound on him some and kick his head off. Might be a long night and a short match for the young mayor. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 153 points today. The Nasdaq was off about 43. This is CBS News.
At Mercedes-Benz, our affordable certified pre-owned vehicles come with the rich legacy of engineering that is Mercedes-Benz. And a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, and a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz retains its integrity because, as a company, we have ours. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about the certified pre-owned program by Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details and warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
My name is Sandra, and I shop at Walmart. I'm currently taking 5 different medications.
My name is Amanda, and I'm a pharmacist here at Walmart. I know Sandra personally, and when our $4 program came out, she was able to get a whole month's generic prescription for $4.
The pharmacy at Walmart offers more than 300 generic prescriptions for $4. Each $4 prescription is for up to a 30-day supply of commonly prescribed dosages. See Walmart.com for details. Save money. Live better. Walmart.
The KKK shop, selling paraphernalia, has been around for more than a decade in South Carolina, but maybe not for much longer.
Black civil rights leader Reverend David Kennedy says court records prove he owns a Lawrence, South Carolina building, which houses the Redneck Shop. The store sells racist T-shirts and KKK robes. He says it's a vestige of the old Jim Crow South.
It's a symbol of the history that was very,
racist.
A phone message at the store indicates someone has bought out the building from underneath Kennedy. No way, he says, and he's contacted a lawyer. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
In Australia, police in Melbourne were about to hold a news conference about a missing couple. William and Heather Ostell's daughter had checked on them, found them missing, and sent up the alarm. As police and reporters gathered, the Ostells drove up in the car, just getting home from a spur-of-the-moment trip they'd gone on walkabout. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
You know, a wise man once said, success is easy. Do the right thing the right way at the right time. Simple, right? Of course, small business owners will tell you that finding time is what makes it tough. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/smallbusiness. Business takes Visa.
So, hon, how do you want your hair done?
Oh, I just want to try something really different.
Okay, well, if we trim your disorganized finances, layer your expenses, and give your late invoicing some body, you'll look just like a movie star.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily handle routine chores, like organizing finances and tracking expenses, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a stylist, aren't you?
Award-winning.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Well, the on-air light has been illuminated. The clock indicates it's time for this guy to start talking. And all of our meters and other indicators indicate that the electrons are dancing just the way we like them. So shall we proceed? I'm feeling pretty good, a little frisky after a nice warm summer weekend here in California. And the good weather continues. We're in the 70s again today. Short sleeves, outdoors lunch. I mean, my sympathies to those in other climes. On today's program, our first hour devoted to pesticides and the critters that they go after. Will Allen, the author of The War on Bugs, will join us here in just a moment. And I know some of our listeners are concerned about the aerial spraying against the light brown apple moth that has started on the Central Coast and is moving northward. And we'll ask Will to weigh in on those issues. So if you have a question about the pheromone spray that they're using or things like that, you're welcome to join this conversation this hour. We're going to talk about the history of pesticides, and this new book is fascinating. It's called The War on Bugs. And, in fact, we're going to give away three copies over the course of this hour to callers who call in with a question or comment. And it won't be just an easy giveaway. We've decided to ask you some questions and see if you've got the right answers about pests, pesticides, and things of that nature. So feel free to join this conversation and compete for one of these books. It's really a beautiful book. We'll detail it for you in a moment. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 1-888-573-8372. Next hour, California's Lieutenant Governor returns, John Garamendi, the Democrat, and we'll talk about the battle over apple moth spraying, also about his support for Hillary Clinton, and the problems that are afflicting municipalities and other forms of government below the state level here in California due to the Sacramento budget crisis. Vallejo has just, beaten back bankruptcy by the hair of the firefighters and police officers' budget cuts. Also on today's program, Ray McGovern will be here to comment on the president's weekend veto of the bill that would have banned waterboarding. Yes, it's nice to know that we have a very clear position on torture in this country. Unfortunately, it's the wrong position. We'll talk about that, and you may have heard that New York's Governor Eliot Spitzer has a hooker problem. He went public with the obligatory photo op with his wife beside him. Oh, I feel sad for her. Anyway, we'll talk about that and the allegation that he may have violated the Mann Act because he met a hooker in Washington but arranged for her to meet him there from apparently New York. So it could get messy for the Democratic governor of New York in the next few weeks. That's all ahead. You can always email me, Peter at peterbcollins.com. And if there's something I've forgotten, just plug it in right here for me, will you? Will Allen joins us now, live from Vermont. Hello, Will.
Hello. Thanks a lot for having me on the program.
Well, thanks for joining us from the Green Mountain State. And can you give us a weather report? What's it like there today?
It's been cold since the 1st of December, and it hasn't let up pretty much. I mean, there's a lot of snow on the ground, and it's, you know, we had a couple days this week that were 5 or 10 below. And so, you know, but that if you live in Vermont, you kind of have to get used to that. So it's, that's Vermont this time of year, and it's beautiful. I mean, it's just spectacular.
Well, my great-great-grandfather came from Vermont, and my grandfather left South Burlington and moved to Ohio. But I have roots in the Green Mountain State, and I really love it there.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, Will, tell us a little bit about your own experience with insects and insecticides, and what caused you to write this powerful book that I just found richly rewarding and quite entertaining, particularly these period advertisements from various publications promoting the use of the snake oil of the day in the form of fertilizers and pesticides.
Right. Well, you know, I've farmed for most of my life, but for about 13 years, in addition to farming, I was the executive director and founder of the Sustainable Cotton Project, and we were trying to convince cotton growers to stop using so many pesticides because cotton is a highly toxic crop, and it was grown over almost 1.5 million acres in California at one point. And so we were able to, you know, help farmers learn how to do that and also help companies. Like, we got Patagonia to switch over to organic, and we got Esprit to switch over. And now, you know, you see organic cotton everywhere. Unfortunately, it's not from the United States. Most of it's from overseas since NAFTA was passed. All of that cotton moved offshore. But when we were doing the Cotton Project, we would give tours to all of the garment industry professionals. And people would always ask the same question, well, how do people get comfortable with spraying poisons right on their houses, right on their yards, right on their kids? And how did they get comfortable with this? You know, I really didn't know. You know, most people thought, well, started in the, you know, after the Second World War, and, you know, that's when people first started using pesticides. So we started looking at it. We went way back. And we found the first use of arsenic was 1867, and by 1890 they were using arsenic and lead, and by 1891 there were reports in the New York Times of poisoning by arsenic and lead. And so, you know, we said, wow, this is really old, and we did a poster display of it, and a book editor saw it and said, wow, you got to write a book about that.
Yeah.
So 10 years later, we finally finished the book, and we used mostly advertisements out of the farm magazines, because those were the vehicles that they used to convince farmers to use chemicals on themselves.
Here's one of my favorites. This is number one Peruvian guano, imported direct from Peru and sold in original bags as unloaded from ship. The best-known fertilizer for all crops and especially for garden truck. And it's sold by Christian & Company out of Philadelphia. Now, guano is bird droppings.
Right.
And I've seen beautiful guano art displays on various, you know, formations. I'm a sailor. But I never thought of guano as a fertilizer. What's in that? I can't say.
Well,
what's in that stuff?
Well, it was like, it was bird droppings off the coast of Peru. And off the coast of Peru, they don't get any rainfall, and so these bird droppings were like more than 100 feet thick of just composted bird manure, which is one of the best fertilizers you could get. And the Peruvian cultures over the millennia had protected these guano islands, were right off the coast, and that's what they mined for their fertilizer. And then the Europeans found it, and in 50 years it was mined out. Mm-hmm. You know, all of it was mined out. So it was like it was the first commercial fertilizer, that is, that was, you know, most of the fertilizers had come from the farms. You know, either what people grew or what they got from animals they raised.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the other posters in here, an advertisement that caught my attention, was for, malathion or another pesticide, but it was being offered by a company called American Cyanamid. And I learned about them because one of my uncles was an executive with that company in the 1960s. But I never knew what their history was. Can you tell me a little bit about American Cyanamid?
Yeah. In the early 1900s, Germany was worried about not having enough nitrogen to grow food and to make bombs, because nitrogen was the main source of bomb making. And so they had this crash program, and they discovered two processes that became commercially viable. And one of them was you make ammonium cyanide by collecting ammonia from the atmosphere. The atmosphere is full of nitrogen. There's, you know, 78% of our atmospheric gases are nitrogen.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can get it easily from the atmosphere, but they had to figure out a way to get it mainly through a force of water or a force of natural gas. So one process used water and the other process used natural gas. And the one that did water started in the United States in the Niagara Falls. And this company was actually a combination United States and Canadian company. And they used the force of the Niagara Falls to extract both ammonia and cyanide gases, and the cyanide gases they extracted were used as pesticides and as the gas that they used in the concentration camps.
Wow. So how sensitive were people at the time to the use of chemicals as pesticides that were so highly toxic, you know, that they're used intentionally to kill human beings?
Well, people were scared to death of them. I mean, they had, you know, when they first started selling arsenic, people didn't want to use it. And most of the magazines, most of the farm magazines were opposed to the use of arsenic. There are only about three or four large farm magazines that promoted arsenic. And arsenic was, you know, like a waste byproduct from industry, from, you know, it was
from mining operations?
Yeah, it was like mm-hmm. flue gas remains, right, from smelting iron and copper.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's all this waste arsenic and waste lead that they had, and they had to do something with it. They had waste potash, and they dumped it on farmland.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, like the American Cyanamid started in 1907, I think, is their first plant, and it was a combine of this German company and Duke, who is the guy that owned the cigarette magnet. You know, he was a cigarette magnate.
Oh, Doris Duke's ancestor.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we know the heirs. You've got to catch up with it one generation at a time.
Right.
Well, that's very interesting. And Will, some of what you just described is what I want to go to in the next segment, which is that many of these chemical pesticides that became popular in agriculture in this country were promoted by a combination of trusted editors of agricultural publications, the support of agriculture extension units from various, usually public, universities, and a whole lot of money from those who would benefit most, the people who produced and sold these pesticide products. So I want to talk about that, then talk about how it has evolved, how our consciousness has changed, and if we're better off and have actually fewer pests on the planet because of all the chemicals we've dumped, or what the long-term downside of that might be. So that's what I want to pursue. We're also going to give away three copies of your book, and we've got somebody on the line who might compete for one in just a moment. You can join us, too. Lines are open, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. My guest is Will Allen, and this powerful new book, it's beautiful and very informative. It's called The War on Bugs. We'll talk more as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it 5 times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 23 minutes after the hour. This hour, our guest is Will Allen, a powerful new book that's informative, entertaining, and while the topic is very serious and a little bit scary, I don't think that he's a fearmonger who presents these issues in any kind of a frightening or threatening way, but it's a fascinating look at the history of American agriculture's attempts to deal with farm pests and the introduction of chemical pesticides and the route that that has taken us through. And as I mentioned, it's a beautifully compiled book with these historic timely advertisements that go all the way back into the 19th century that show you how these products were marketed to farmers. And we're joined now by Mike from Sacramento. Hi, Mike.
Peter B.
How you doing today?
Very good.
What's on your...
Nice air, 70 degrees.
Yeah, isn't it?
Your guest in Vermont, I'm sure it's very cold there.
Yeah, I was up in the wine country yesterday, but the vines haven't started to bud yet, even though we've had this kind of early teaser of springtime.
But anyway, question I had for your guest is colony collapse, where a lot of the commercial beekeepers are losing entire colonies of bees. They're just disappearing. Is there any evidence that that is tied into pesticide use or any new pesticides that have been recently introduced? Here, of course, in the state of California, I mean, this whole Central Valley is nothing but almond groves and plum groves, and it's kind of scary.
Yeah, I think it's very scary, too. We're seeing this all over the country. In California especially, you know, they used to bring all of the hives into the Central Valley, as 580 comes into 5 there, and mm-hmm. there's a plant in that area called Blue Curl that they used to put all the hives on, and that cleaned them up. But they got so busy, they stopped doing it. You know, and I think that was one of the things. And then I think is the amount of pesticides in the environment and the type of pesticides. I mean, see, now only the most toxic pesticides work. So, like, when we did this analysis of different kinds of vegetables, you know, what we try to show you is, like, the there's only 4 or 5 chemicals that are used on most crops in large volume. They may use 150 or 180 chemicals, but the ones that they use in large volume are the most toxic. And you see that over and over again. It doesn't matter what crop you look at, you know. And I think that, you know, we've gotten into this situation where super decline in butterflies, monarch butterflies especially, super decline in bees, decline in amphibians, and now bats. I mean, there's a real serious decline in bats. And you know, the environment is very, very toxic out there. I mean, that isn't to say we can't fix it. I mean, we see all the time people coming onto farms and fixing up farms that are totally trash. But we're in a crisis right now with a lot of different species that are not just indicator species. These are critical species.
All right. Mike, would you like to compete for a book?
Yeah, why not?
All right. Can you name the title and author of the 1962 book, the seminal book, that brought attention to the impact of pesticides?
The Silent Spring, Rachel Carson.
Oh, Mike, that was so easy for you.
Yeah, that one was a gimme.
We thought that was going to be tricky. Well, you're getting a copy of this book, and I'm sure you'll be delighted to have it. So thank you for calling today.
Thank you.
Okay, real good. Now to Kevin in Chico. Welcome, Kevin. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Will Allen.
Hi, Will. Great subject and very important. My work takes me through all kinds of ag areas of the Sacramento Valley and working with farmers. And it really is, in my 5 years of doing this, I'm seeing so much less cotton here, and one of the two gins have gone out. It just isn't that profitable a crop, and it's getting replaced with a lot of trees, but I don't know if that changes the impacts.
I think it changes the impact some, except that, like, trees are not exactly the, you know, pesticide-free crop. A lot of them fumigate when they put the trees in. You know, I mean, what I tell people, look, is we do a lot of orchard work, and we see really good orchards being put in without fumigants if you just prepare the ground ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so.
Will, we got to take a break. Mike, do you want to compete for a book?
Kevin, yes, I would.
Kevin, I'm sorry, I got my names wrong. Kevin, hold on. We'll get to you right after the break and see if you can answer our question, okay?
Sounds good.
And we'll continue with Will Allen. The new book is called The War on Bugs. You can give us a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments. Their unique perspective helps them see domestic and international markets in a different light. Franklin Templeton Investments, gained from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. For each American, we use approximately 500 gallons of petroleum equivalents per year to supply us with our food. That's an enormous quantity.
It's not sustainable. When we run out of oil and natural gas, we are in serious trouble.
Eating oil after this. Let's say you're finally retired and now you can do all the things that you've been wanting to but never had the time. Well, being on the go, you'll need a cell phone you can rely on. But you probably don't want to deal with some complicated phone with lots of tiny buttons. Verizon Wireless has just the phone for you. It's called the Coupe. It's got a big keypad, easy-to-read screen, and dedicated buttons for emergency contacts. And since it's backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal and Verizon Wireless, you know it's reliable. The Coupe from Verizon Wireless. It's everything you need and nothing you don't. To learn more, call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN today or visit a Verizon Wireless store near you. Tylenol would like to remind everyone that March is Sleep Month. Although we set our clocks forward, you don't have to lose sleep over it. You can find all sorts of helpful ways to help you get a better night's sleep at Tylenol.com. Reading is a good one. It can help you to take your mind off your day so you can put your mind at ease. And, of course, there's Tylenol PM, another safe, non-habit-forming way to get a great night's sleep when used as directed. Because the more you sleep, the better you feel. Tylenol PM. Cornell professor David Pimentel has spent years studying the energy that goes into producing and transporting all the food we eat. Modern fertilizers and pesticides are made from fossil fuels. Farm machinery, processing, and shipping all run on oil.
We invest about 10 calories of fossil energy per calorie of food that we consume, about 10 to 1.
America's groceries guzzle 150 billion gallons of oil a year, says Pimentel. A box of cornflakes contains 3,600 calories. But it takes 16,000 calories of oil to make the box. Or take the great American favorite, the hamburger.
1 pound of hamburger would require about a gallon and a half of gasoline equivalents.
Agriculture and environment expert Richard Manning says using more oil in the form of fertilizers and pesticides is what helped to create the ultra-productive green revolution of the 1960s. But that was then. This is now.
As oil depletes around the planet, we're left looking for substitutes to begin farming, and there are no substitutes.
Population growth has left billions hungry, says Pimentel, but if everyone ate like Americans, we would drain the planet of fossil fuels in a single decade or less. Something's got to give.
The Earth is finite, and eventually the Earth is going to call in the bill.
The Osgood File, Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Looking for ways to improve and beautify your landscape with sound environmental practices and enjoy seasonal produce from your own land? Well, Tree of Life Ecological Services offers landscaping and design to suit your specific garden needs, large or small. Contact Tree of Life Ecological Services at treeoflifees.com or call 831-566-EDEN. That's 566-3336.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Now, maybe you've heard the story about how the devil went down to Georgia. He was actually a Monsanto pesticide salesman.
Down to Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet, you're gonna regret, 'cause I'm the best as ever been."
Johnny Ross, and up your bow and play your fiddle hard. Cause hell's broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get the shiny fiddle made of gold. But if you lose, the devil gets your soul.
There he is, Charlie Daniels. The devil went down to Georgia, where they're having a drought, still trying to dig their way out of that. Will Allen is with us. The War on Bugs is a very powerful collection of information about pesticides. It includes timelines that help you understand when certain of these chemicals were started to be used, and in some cases, when they stopped having the desired effect. And as we mentioned, it is replete with these advertisements, like here's one from the California Farmer in 1948. Keep on the safe side with insecticides. The National Safety Council warns summer gardeners that plant sprays and poisons claim many child lives each year. Keep poisons locked up. And, Will, I want to talk more with you in a second, but I want to complete with Kevin from Chico, who wants to try to win a copy of the book. Kevin, are you there?
I'm with you.
Great. Can you name one animal that ended up on the endangered species list partly because of DDT? And I've got two possible answers here. We'll see if you can get one of them. Name one animal that ended up on our endangered species list partly because of DDT.
There's a bird and there's an amphibian, I believe.
All right, let's work on the bird side.
And I won't, the shell thinning it was.
And I won't flip you the bird.
Oh, I'm drawing a blank on this one, Peter. I know the shells got thin and they had no survival rate.
Uh-huh. All right, well, we're going to leave that question for somebody else. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
All right, good to talk to you. I appreciate you calling in today. 888-5-PETER-B. More of your calls coming up in a moment, and in particular for our Central Coast listeners, if you have questions or issues about the pheromone spray that is being applied from the air against your will to try to eradicate the light brown apple moth, you're welcome to call in, and I'm volunteering Will Allen's expertise on that. Will, I wanted to talk here for a couple of minutes about DDT, and I'd like you to use it as a teaching moment to roll into it the themes that I identified a little bit earlier, the collusion of these trusted agricultural publications that farmers all across the country read, many of whom whose editors were receiving not just the advertising money from the pesticide companies that they were hawking for, but they probably got some special inducements along the way, too. And the other part of it is the agricultural extensions. I remember when the GMO, the Flavor Saver tomato, was first introduced, and a flack from Monsanto arranged for me to interview a botanist or biologist from the University of California at Davis. And I thought, oh, here's a credible person. And she came on the air and would not speak to the negatives of the Flavor Saver, would not acknowledge that it was flavor-free, and it sounded to me like she was just a PR person for the chemical companies.
Well, and that's an old pattern that started in the 1880s. See, like, the early magazines, they first started in the teens. First one was 1810. And then, they were all populist magazines. They were trying to, infrastructure development and, develop relationships within the communities and so forth. And they stayed populist magazines until the 1880s, until there was this massive influx of chemicals, fertilizers, and pesticides, and then the magazines sold out. They sold out from being populist magazines to new publishers. People had just gotten burned out in the publishing world, and the new publishers started seeing that they can make more money off of advertisements than they could make off of subscriptions, so they started giving the magazines away in the 1880s. And so all of the farm magazines are given away. You don't pay for a farm magazine. So that they're really just thinly disguised advertising sheets. But there's also this editor who is like a populist guy, that is constantly trying to lead you on. And a lot of the editorials are nothing more than advertorials. They're advertisements in editorial form. And then the government went pro-pesticides in the late 1800s, and they came out with the Bureau of Agriculture came out with publication 152 that says pesticides are good. Use arsenic and lead and sulfuric acid and mercury. And so people did because they were advised to by the government. And then the regulatory agencies that were started at the, around the turn of the century, FDA in 1906, they didn't really regulate, you know, because the FDA was put in the United States Department of Agriculture. So it would be like regulating agriculture. They were already said they were pro-pesticides, so who is going to regulate? And so nobody regulated these early pesticides. And so by the early 1900s, there was a huge anti-pesticide movement that went all through the Depression years.
And so DDT, as you point out in your timeline, was introduced really at the end of World War II.
Right.
And for a long time, people thought it was a miracle pesticide and that it was so safe that you describe moms spraying DEET on children.
Right.
And yet we learned, not until the 1960s, really, did we start to pay attention to the negative impacts.
Right. Well, there was a huge anti-pesticide movement in the 30s. That's where the Consumers Union, Consumers Report started, mostly out of that anti-pesticide movement. And but it really started taking off in the late 40s. There was already a lot of criticism about pesticides, and especially people were starting to worry about DDT. See, they started using DDT in Europe in 1939,
mm-hmm.
and by 1946, it already didn't work on a lot of stuff in Europe because it only worked for a few years. Like, it would work for 5 to 10 years, and then it was useless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what happens with almost all of these chemicals. They have a very short, effective shelf life before the critters develop resistance, because the critters have been here for millions of years.
Yes, they have.
You know, and these pesticides are just, you know, DDT they invented in 1894,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that doesn't stand up with millions of years of evolution. These critters are very adaptable.
Now, what about the extension, the agriculture extension of public universities since the land grant days? These were where farmers went to get credible information. Yet,
yeah.
Haven't many of these agencies been corrupted by the funding that comes from Dow and Monsanto and other big suppliers to agribusiness?
Oh, totally. I mean, like, most of the agricultural extension services in the United States are, chemical extension services. There are a lot of young agricultural extension agents that are in the system that are changing that system, but it's an entrenched system, you know, and it's broke, you know, because we're not putting any money into it. Like, we don't really, you know, pay to take care of our agriculture that well anymore, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the extension services, one of the reasons they go to Monsanto is because there's no government money for them to do their work. And so they go to where the money is, and the money is with Monsanto. You
Karen, Karen in Sacramento joins us next. Karen, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Will Allen.
Well, I could have answered the first two questions you've asked already, so maybe you'll ask me one of those again.
I think I will. Let's get it out of the way. Name one animal that ended up on the endangered species list partly because of DDT.
The bald eagle.
You're a winner, Karen.
All right, because I teach environmental science, so we're on this, and I'm still learning a lot.
That's not fair. But,
oh no!
But we're not going to disqualify you.
Oh,
we're just,
shoot!
We're just
going to
whine about it.
I should have been honest.
What did you want to ask about, Karen?
Well, I do have a question. Are you aware of any studies in which the nutrition from organic fruits and vegetables is better than that of conventional?
You know, there's been a lot of studies done recently. There was a report done by NOFA New York, which is New England Organic Farmers Association, and they commissioned a study, and organic food was actually much more nutritious, and almost across the board. And then the University of California, Davis, has been doing some studies, and they have a program called the Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education Program, and that's at the University of California, Davis.
Okay, and the first one was New England?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. New England what?
Pardon me?
New England what?
Yeah, she didn't catch New England. What are the details there, Will?
Oh, yeah.
I guess it was NOFA you were talking about?
Yeah, I was talking about the New England Organic Farmers Association.
There you go.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right.
Yeah.
Karen, hold on. We'll get your address and send you a book.
You can go online and get that.
Okay.
All right, Karen. Thank you very much. Now to John in Carmel Valley. Hello, John. You're on the air.
Yes. One of the biggest problems, and it's backfired on me and anyone else that wants to convince people we need to be more concerned about environmental issues, is that there are just so many of them. The one that's most obvious and probably on most people's mind right now is global warming. But what about these dead spots that are maybe even more threatening in some ways at the mouths of our bigger rivers? And that's the question I wanted to ask you. Is anything being done to try to curb the use of chemical fertilizers, which must be the biggest culprits behind these, the high nitrogen, soluble nitrogen that's going down big rivers like the Mississippi, and I think there's one off the Columbia as well?
All right. Will?
Well, you know what? It's like it's a national disgrace. It's a national disaster. You know, we have an agricultural system where 80% of our agriculture is to produce meat, right, or milk, and mostly meat. And that agriculture system is incredibly expensive, both of energy and of fertilizer. And both of them come from, a large percentage of them come from the same place. They're both, you know, synthetic nitrogen, right? So what's happening is, like, we're in this problem right now where we're, we have an agriculture system that is in really bad shape, and it's supplying products that people don't want in the world anymore, and too many of those, so the prices are low. And so people are farming in some ways worse than they did before. I mean, and that isn't to say that there isn't a huge cadre of people that are changing their agriculture, because there is. I mean, you know, literally millions of acres around the world,
mm-hmm.
You know, have changed over to organic, but there still is an enormous amount of pesticide and fertilizer use, and fertilizers are in many ways worse than pesticides because we use eight times as much nitrogen as we use pesticides.
Yeah, and John, don't forget the Gulf of Mexico as a repository of a lot of you know, waste runoff that is loaded with pesticides, fertilizers, and you know, things like the chemical antibiotics that we're feeding to farm animals now in the, you know, the factory farm settings. All that stuff gets flushed into our ecosystems. John, do you want to take a shot at our third and most difficult question?
No, I'd like to forget that. I'd rather ask him one last question about chemical fertilizers. Can I do that instead?
Yes, yes, you may.
Okay. If the price of oil keeps going, oil products, because of the high per barrel price, is it possible that that will help curb the use of chemical fertilizers, because they generally come from oil-based or petroleum chemistry?
Yeah, I mean, we're in a crisis. I mean, the country is in a crisis. The world's in a crisis. I mean, we need to, you know, change course now. We can't, you know, keep digging the same deep hole. It's like, wait a second, we're going in the wrong direction, you know. And so we've got to change right now. But like, is fertilizer is directly related to the cost of oil. Is directly related to the cost of oil, and it's higher this year than it was last year, and it's higher last year than it was the year before. And it's a toxic product. I mean, in the long run, it's going to be good when we can't make so much of it.
We will return.
Thank you, Peter.
John, thank you.
Thank you all for calling.
Bye.
Yeah, good questions. We'll continue with Will Allen. The book is The War on Bugs. We got one more copy to give away, and we'll try to do that in the next segment. All the lines are jammed, so just sit back and listen. We'll continue in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents
You're
and
listening
children
to
of the
new
Central Coast.
KRXA 540.
They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Ray of frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll try to provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your co-host, along with Mark Leonard. We try to look at current issues from a unique angle and invite our listeners to call in and bring their own different perspective on contemporary affairs. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're all just dust in the wind, you know. The pesticides really don't help. Don't change things much.
Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind.
We continue with Will Allen. This powerful new book is a real collector's item. It's called The War on Bugs. It's a history of pesticides. It shows how they were sold to the farm community and to Americans as safe and necessary. And also even as part of the war effort back there during the World War II period. And Will Allen, before I take more calls here, can I ask you to come back on the show? This is a very hot topic. We've gotten a lot of phone calls, and just in 1 hour we're only going to be able to cover so much. So I'd love to have you back maybe in 3 weeks or a month.
I'd love to do that.
All right. If you can work it in before planting time.
Yep, I always can do that.
Okay, great. Let's go to Deborah in Salinas, who joins us. Hi, Deborah. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Deborah. I'm actually over on the Monterey Peninsula.
Okay.
So, Monterey County and Santa Cruz County got sprayed with a so-called synthetic pheromone last fall. But as we've been doing research, it becomes incredibly clear that basically, this so-called crisis over the light brown apple moth that wandered over from New Zealand some time ago, it never was a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And EPA, it appears, never registered this product, brand new off the shelf, manufactured in Oregon. It was never registered for residential application. And additionally, the only way to make this stuff work, according to experts in New Zealand, is to apply it in a very even application, don't have hills or trees or any variables, so on and so forth. There are two experts out of the Santa Cruz area.
Mm-hmm.
The last name, Harder, H-A-R-D-E-R, and another gentleman, Rosendale, R-O-S-E-N-D-A-L-E. And as of the 6th of March, 2008, they've issued a 15-page summary of what they learned on their two-week research trip to New Zealand. And the end result, to keep it short here, we were lied to by everyone since last August. And one thing that they call as an alternative to the crazy things that have been done that, yes, are not only counterproductive, but they're also dangerous
mm-hmm.
for a variety of reasons. But one of their alternatives is called an insect growth regulator. Do you know anything good or bad or...
All right, let's ask that. And plus, Will, what do you know about the relative threat posed by the light brown apple moth and the safety of this pheromone, synthetic pheromone spray?
You know, like, I don't know the exact synthetic pheromone spray they're using, but you know, a lot of times what happens when you have these area-wide spray programs, they're dictated by the federal government, and the state usually goes along with them because the state is, you know, part and parcel of this. And, I mean, it's a get-rich-quick scheme for the chemical companies, to be honest. And they did it with malathion spray for medfly, and they did it for oriental fruit fly in 9 southern states. They did it for, you know, they just do it constantly whenever there's a outbreak. And, like, one of the big deals, as we've found from over the years, is the main way to control these pests is with other bugs. You know, they've been here for, like, millions of years. All you have to do is get in the middle of it, find the pest that goes after these critters, and you can take care of them. We don't spray anything on our farm. We haven't sprayed anything since the 60s. You know, and like, and we did the same thing in cotton. I mean, if you can grow cotton without chemicals, you can grow anything without chemicals. These guys got a hair trigger on pesticides and pheromones, and you know that pheromone is probably coming with a pesticide carrier. So, I mean, like, I wouldn't, you know, like, I can get the analysis of it for you because I have friends in California, but mm-hmm. your best bet is to try to get a hold of some of the people at University of California, Santa Cruz in the agroecology department.
Okay.
And at University of California, Davis in the sustainable agriculture research and education program. And those people are, like, right on top of this. I'm sure that they have strategies because several of their people have worked in pomology, which is apples, for a long time.
All right, Deborah, did you get a good answer there? And do you want to answer a question to win a book?
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay. This is the trickiest question I have. Name one of the 3 vegetables grown in California with the most pesticides detected in a study in 2005. And this is cited from the book called The War on Bugs. And all you need to do is name one of the 3 that has the highest levels of different pesticides in the consumer product.
I'll guess tomatoes.
No. I'm going to give you another guess.
I'll guess pistachios.
Oh, no. Well, we're at the end of the hour, so I'm going to give the answer, and I'm sorry you didn't win a book.
Oh.
The sweet bell pepper.
I'm allergic to them.
64%, lettuce at 57%, celery at 30%.
Lettuce at 57%?
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Deborah, thanks a lot for your call today.
Thank you.
Nice to talk with you. Will Allen, it's been a real pleasure, and as I said, I do want to talk with you again because there's much more we can discuss, and I think this is a powerful new book. I'm really, really delighted to receive it and to have the chance to talk with you.
Well, I really had a very nice time, and thanks a lot for inviting me, and I'd be glad to be on again.
Real good. All right. That
thanks
is
a lot, Peter.
Will Allen, and again, the book is called The War on Bugs. It's colorful, it's rich, and it's very informative. This portion of our program brought to you by the Organic Wine Company. They make wines from grapes that don't have pesticides, many of them without sulfites, and some vegan titles, too. Log on to ecowine.com. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
New York's Mr. Clean governor is linked to prostitution.
I apologize first and most importantly to my family. I apologize to the public, whom I promised better.
Gasoline prices at record highs.
$4 is a definite possibility.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Elliot Spitzer's political career is based on fighting crime and corruption. As New York's Attorney General, he was the scourge of Wall Street. But Spitzer's image changed dramatically today when he was linked to a pricey prostitution ring that was busted last week. CBS News investigative correspondent Armin Katayan reports.
Law enforcement officials who have been briefed on the case tell CBS News the man identified in the complaint as Client 9 is Spitzer. The New York governor implicated via a wiretap to a tryst on February 13, 2008, room 871. The call girl in question, Kristen, described in court documents as petite, very pretty brunette, 5 feet 5 inches and 105 pounds. According to court papers, Client 9 would be paying for everything: train tickets from New York to D.C., plus cab fare from the hotel and back, minibar or room service, travel time, and hotel. But one law enforcement official told CBS News today this was far from a one-shot deal.
In his alleged dealings with the Emperor's Club VIP, law enforcement officials say Spitzer used the name of George Fox, a friend and campaign contributor. Reached this afternoon, Fox said this is the first I've heard of it. The governor, with his wife at his side, made a very brief statement admitting wrongdoing without being specific.
I have acted in a way that violates my obligations to my family and that violates my or any sense of right and wrong.
Spitzer said nothing about his future except that he'll dedicate some time to regaining the trust of his family. His political nemesis, Republican Senate leader Joe Bruno, refuses to say whether Spitzer should resign.
The important thing for the people of New York State is that people in office do the right thing, because there are so many challenges out there.
Journalist Lawrence Levy has seen it all, covering New York State government for decades, but the Spitzer story, he says, is in a class by itself.
People called him arrogant, people called him a bully, people called him out of touch, but the idea that Elliot Spitzer, the sheriff of Wall Street, the man who brought down the Gambino crime family, that he could be involved in an illegal activity of any kind just stretches the imagination beyond the breaking point.
Now this.
So, hon, how do you want your hair done?
Oh, I just want to try something really different.
Okay, well, if we trim your disorganized finances, layer your expenses, and give your late invoicing some body, you'll look just like a movie star.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily handle routine chores, like organizing finances and tracking expenses, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a stylist, aren't you?
Award-winning.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
I want a healthcare company that helps me stay healthy.
Staying healthy matters. That's why Aetna believes in the power of preventive care. We offer plans that cover a range of preventive services, from annual checkups to well baby visits, at no cost to our members.
It's like they say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
We want you to know. Aetna. To learn more, go to Aetna.com.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company. Health insurance plans contain exclusions and limitations.
$3.23 a gallon. According to the Energy Department, that's the new national average for gasoline, a record. And analyst Peter Butel expects it to keep rising, possibly to $4.
What do I think its likelihood is? I would say I think we're very likely to see it in some of the wealthier areas.
Hillary Clinton has been hinting that Barack Obama could be her running mate, but Obama told a crowd in Columbus, Mississippi today that he's confused.
I'm just wondering, because if I was in second place, I could understand it. But I'm in first place right now.
And the polls suggest he'll win the Mississippi primary tomorrow. Obama said he's not running for vice president. Boeing has launched a formal protest of the Pentagon's decision to award a big Air Force contract to Northrop Grumman and Europe's Airbus. Defense Department spokesman Jeff Morrell says it was a fair and transparent competition, which was won on the merits.
The taxpayers are being provided with the best value for their dollar, and the warfighters are getting the best plane possible.
The deal to build refueling tankers is worth at least $35 billion and could be worth as much as $100 billion. As Boeing was preparing its protests, Northrop Grumman revised its estimate of how many U.S. jobs would be created from 25,000 to 48,000. That's 4,000 more jobs than Boeing's estimate. Boeing's appealing to the General Accountability Office. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
At Mercedes-Benz, our affordable certified pre-owned vehicles come with the rich legacy of engineering that is Mercedes-Benz. And a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, and a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz retains its integrity because, as a company, we have ours. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about the certified pre-owned program by Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details and warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
My name is Sandra, and I shop at Walmart. I'm currently taking 5 different medications.
My name is Amanda, and I'm a pharmacist here at Walmart. I know Sandra personally, and when our $4 program came out, she was able to get a whole month's generic prescription for $4.
The pharmacy at Walmart offers more than 300 generic prescriptions for $4. Each $4 prescription is for up to a 30-day supply at commonly prescribed dosages. See Walmart.com for details. Save money. Live better. Walmart.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Later this hour, Ray McGovern returns. He served at the CIA. In fact, he gave the daily briefing to President Reagan back in the 80s. Sharp critic of the Bush administration. We'll talk about the president's veto of the bill that would have banned waterboarding and required the CIA to live within the Army manual, the field manual. And next hour, we open up the phones in the free speech zone.
I've been in the cave. For 40 days, only a spark to light my way. I want to give out, I want to give in. This is our crime, this is our sin. But I still believe, through the pain and through the grief, through the lies.
Joining me now is California's Lieutenant Governor, Democrat John Garamendi. John, how are you today?
Peter B., I am very, very well. It's been a wonderful day here in Sacramento.
And I just bet we're both doing better than Elliot Spitzer.
How did I know that name would come up in this conversation? Oh, my goodness. Now, this is a guy that I worked with when he was Attorney General in New York. He and I worked very, very closely together on going after a handful of insurance companies that were ripping off the public to a fare thee well. Mm-hmm. And now looking at this, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
This is beyond understanding.
Well, it is, and, you know, all we have so far is the apology. The part of this picture, and for people who are just learning about this, Elliot Spitzer is now the governor of New York State, and there was a news conference today where he apologized for a report that indicates that he hired a hooker on a trip to Washington, D.C. And, John, it's compounded a little bit because there are two parts here. One is that there was some intercepted or monitored telephone call that tipped somebody off to this little event or a get-together. And the other is that the prostitute in question apparently was from New York and traveled to Washington, D.C. for this get-together. And that's a violation of the Mann Act. Now, as a prosecutor, he might have known about these things.
You know a whole lot more than I do. And I'm just saying, you know, one more tragic situation, tragic for him, his family, and, you know, quite and I guess also for the stature of government. I will see. You know, This is all preliminary, and I know him in a completely different context. And I must tell you, he was one very aggressive prosecutor and did a great job working with me on these, going after these insurance companies.
Yeah.
But, you know, here we go.
John, to another issue. In the last hour, we spent the hour talking with Will Allen, who is an expert on pesticides. And many of my Central Coast listeners are very concerned about the pheromone spray that has been foisted on them from aerial applications going back to last fall. And now the uproar is extending to the Bay Area because plans have been announced to spray in on the peninsula, the Santa Clara County area, and also in Marin County. So we've seen a series of public meetings. Senator Carol Migden and others have convened a flurry of legislation from people like John Laird in Santa Cruz, Mark Leno in San Francisco, and Migden again. And yet we don't have any real independent study that indicates that this light brown apple moth is a significant threat to agriculture. And A, that the spraying is warranted, and B, that this pheromone or fake pheromone product is safe for application where humans might be contacted?
Well, those are all very, very fundamental questions about this whole thing. You know, the light brown apple moth is considered, at least by the agricultural interest, to be a major, major threat. Apparently it has been in other other parts of the world. As to an independent study, I don't know, but we're going to be faced with this kind of issue in more and more in the future. And this is not new. We had the during the Jerry Brown period, we had this problem in Santa Clara County with another pest that came in and apparently successfully dealt with it then, but that was actually a very serious chemical that was used at that time. We need to really understand that as this climate changes, California is going to be invaded by new species that have never been here before. And not just those that are harmful to agriculture, but many that are going to be harmful to human beings. We're going to see the potential of malaria and other tropical diseases finding their way into California. So this whole issue really needs to be studied in depth. We need to do the research way ahead of this changing climate and the invasive species that are going to find their way to California. So let us start now. Let us use this particular moment with the apple moth and begin the research necessary to figure out how are we going to deal with an increasing number of conflicts between human beings, agriculture, human beings, and tropical illnesses that will find their way into our state. So let's get going on it because it's a big, big issue and very important, not just economically, but I think in human terms and human health.
Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you'd like to talk with him, he's here till the bottom of the hour. 888-5-PETER-B, toll free. That's 888-573-8372. You spent 3 or 4 years as the number two at the Department of Interior during the Clinton administration. I started to say the first. were any of your duties related to pesticides and the residues, their impact in public lands, that sort of thing?
Yes, we dealt with that in several different ways, particularly with endangered species. No doubt that pesticides do have a direct effect on the environment and upon the ability of species to go. Obviously, the DDT issue is very, very well known, and with Rachel Carson and the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a constant, ongoing issue, and back to what I said just a few moments ago, we need to apply a lot of research effort to this. I know that some of the research is thought to be tainted because it's sponsored by the chemical companies, agricultural chemical companies, other companies, and that needs to be very carefully taken into account. But wherever that research, wherever the money comes from, it's we've got to do it. It's a major concern to all of us. And clearly, over the years, we have moved away from some of the heavy-duty, very dangerous pesticides, herbicides, to new products that are far less injurious, but still remain a concern. And there's no easy answer here. But while all of that's going on, we've also moved into what we call organic or low-impact agriculture.
Right.
And that has actually produced a whole new industry called the organic food market. Now, as long as it is honestly carried out, which in many cases it's not, it's been a major economic activity and good for all of us, and more power to it. I raise cattle. And, you know, my kids and Patty and I are also, we're talking about range-fed beef as opposed to beef that is finished in the feedlots. Why? Because, you know, we don't, it's whatever's on the ground, and there's no chemicals, no hormones, no other
antibiotics,
right. None of that, and there's a market for this.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at that, and in fact, that's what we do with our own family. Is we just finish off a couple of steers a year, and that's where we get our beef, and it's good. So there's a market. There's also a need for us as citizens of this world to recognize that we use far too many antibiotics, hormones, and pesticides. And the result is found in our water today.
Yeah, I would just add fertilizer to that list.
Yes, good point. Add fertilizer to the list. It's found, you know, you take a look, and there's a study that just came out over the weekend or late last week that the water supplies, the domestic municipal water supplies in California are tainted with antibiotics and other medicines that we take as human beings, and we flush down the toilet, either directly or indirectly.
Right.
And they wind up in the water supplies, and you know, that's a major concern. Hormones that do have an effect on younger and older people. So we just need to cut back here, cut back in many, many ways. And at the same time, we have to find a balance to maintain the food crops that that we need to survive.
And, John, what do you make of the weekend news report that Stuart Resnick, who is an agribusinessman, he controls Paramount Farms and Paramount Citrus. He's made almost $150,000 in contributions to the governor. And those who are opposed to the spraying against the light brown apple moth draw a connection there. Do you?
I don't know. I kind of doubt that there's a direct connection. There's certainly a water connection. I mean, the Paramount Farms is a major consumer of water from the California Water Project, and that's certainly a connection. There's no doubt about that. As to whether there's a connection on the apple moth, I just don't know. I think that's, you know, that may be stretching it. I know that the agricultural industry in the Salinas area and the Santa Cruz area is very concerned about this, and other, I think this little creature attacks several hundred varieties of agricultural products, including horticulture, trees, and the like. So I think it is a very serious concern. How to deal with it, that's where the research comes in.
We're going to take a break and return, get some calls on with Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi, check in with him on the Hillary Clinton campaign. If you want to join us, toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey and Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Slow down. You got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last right here on KRXA 540. What you know when I've come to...
This is Cynthia from Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Carmel, and we have something new, a unique opportunity to give yourself or someone special the gift of consultation with nationally respected life coach and career mentor, Raymond Davi. Paul and I know firsthand the empowerment Ray has to offer. Discover how changes can propel you where you want to go in the areas of personal and career growth or planning goals for ongoing success, as well as insights for your work-life balance. Don't hesitate. Call and reserve your 90-minute appointment or purchase a gift certificate now. Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, 624-4955 or www.pilgrimsway.com.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Good afternoon, happy Monday, and checking traffic on KRXA. Well, the good news, no stalls, no accidents to tell you about in Monterey, Santa Cruz, or Salinas. There is a grass fire, San Juan Batista, southbound 101 at 129. It's actually three small patches of brush burning off to the side. Fire department is on the scene. For Salinas City Streets, Davis Road at West Blanco Road, the traffic light's not working properly there. The left turn light apparently stuck on red. And westbound 156 at Highway 25 in Hollister, we've had reports that the lights are stuck on red there. That will cause delays. Highway 68, no problem. 17 as you work your way through the Santa Cruz Mountains. Currently checks in problem-free. And Highway 1 going through Monterey County as well as Santa Cruz County, problem-free. And this is brought to you by Sprint, announcing a revolution in wireless. The Simply Everything plan from Sprint. Now you can unleash the potential of your phone without worry that the meter is running. Visit Sprint.com/everything for more details. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show as we continue with California's Lieutenant Governor, Democrat John Garamendi. And Dave is on the line from Santa Cruz. Welcome, Dave. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thank you so much, Peter. Great show. I really enjoyed Will last hour.
Isn't he amazing? Yeah.
And I've been working on the light brown apple moth studying absurdity since October.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to address a couple things. The resonant connection is that Roll International, which also owns Paramount Farms, also owns Sutera, which is the chemical company that makes the quote-unquote synthetic pheromone.
Good point. Thank you for raising that, yeah.
So we just, there was a Dan Harding, who was mentioned last hour, just returned from almost a month-long trip to New Zealand, where this light brown apple moth has been for decades. He toured the New Zealand and Australia for about a month, and basically it's a non-issue there. It's been there for decades, and the claim by the CDFA and the USDA is that this thing, and I heard John say it again, is that it can eat all of these species, you know, Monterey pines, redwoods, all of this stuff, but it's a leaf roller, number one. It needs a leaf to roll up into, mm-hmm. And Monterey pines, ironically, is one of the largest exports from New Zealand. So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of misinformation going on with this particular issue. It is a, it really is a moth of mass destruction. It's a non-threat.
All right, let's get a comment. Lieutenant Governor, go ahead.
Well, that's what I just said earlier, is that we need to have complete, thorough understanding of all these issues, and that is a research question. And that research, some information being provided now, is it completely the way it is? It a complete story? Maybe yes, maybe no. I think one of the issues is that when you get an invasive species coming into new territory, the normal adversaries of that species don't exist in that new territory. And so you may get a much more severe incursion and result than you would have where that species has been established and has over the millenniums or years developed adversaries that hold that particular species in check. And that's a major question with all invasive species. In some parts of the world, you have a species that is of no real concern because it has adversaries that hold it in check. When it moves to a new part of the world, those adversaries don't exist. I don't know what the answer is. I do know that that is a question in many of the invasive species that find its way into the United States from other parts of the world. So we'll see. That's why I say research is very important. We have to have an understanding of what's going on.
All right. Dave, a follow-up?
Yes. We've done the research. I mean, he's a PhD. He runs the UCSC Arboretum, actually, and he's actually turned that into the state legislature. I mean, there are five bills pending now dealing with this issue. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know,
I'm not saying
gets eaten by birds, and, you know, it's already taken care of. In fact, there's an entomologist from UC Davis who says that the light brown apple moth has actually been in California for decades.
Yeah, so all
again,
this may be true. I'm
just
saying that.
Behind this.
Go ahead. Dave, hold on, and John, go ahead.
With you, Dave. I'm just saying that this issue of invasive species, whether they have adversaries in the new part of the world that those invasive species are finding their way, is an issue, and it may be that that what you're saying is accurate. I don't know, but what I've said from the outset is we need to understand this. We need to get the research. We need to understand, and that's the process that should be underway.
Dave, thanks for the call. I need to jump to Michael in Fair Oaks. Go ahead, Michael, your question.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Lieutenant Governor and Peter, thanks for the discussion. My question surrounded the state budget.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, in the governor's budget, there's an initiative for wildland fire money to be raised from a surcharge on insurance companies. Could you talk about that, Governor?
I'll take a shot at it. The governor did suggest that there be a surcharge on all insurance, homeowner insurance policy in the state to pay for wildland fires. The legislature has a lot of problems with that. And I suspect that we will see that significantly modified or not passing as it is. There already is the discussion underway in the past about some sort of surcharge or partial charge on the wildland interface areas to pay for these services. And I think that may be a better way to go than to charge somebody that might be in central San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there's another question in the budget that I think is extremely important, and that is how we're going to deal with the huge deficit. To deal with this, I've set up a what I call the Grand Education Coalition. This would be the University of California, the state university system, the community college system, together with the K-12 system, to educate Californians about the extraordinary impact that this budget's going to have on education and, therefore, on the economy of California if it's to go forward as it is. We're moving now beyond that, bringing in other interest groups, including the fire services across the state. This budget proposal simply is a major problem for California's ability to maintain its competitiveness and to meet the needs that we have across the state. So people ought to be watching this very carefully.
Well, I'm glad you're doing that, John, and there's a lot of work to be done. We'll talk about it again real soon. And just one more question. Who answers the phone at your house at 3 a.m.?
I do. In fact, our mother-in-law, Patty's mother, and my mother-in-law are now living with us. She's 90 years old with Alzheimer's, and we wake up a couple times during the night to see that she's taken care of.
Thank you, John. I'll talk again real soon.
Thank you.
That's John Garamendi.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let them vote. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Did you see the cable coverage of the Wyoming primary over the weekend? When was the last time you had wall-to-wall coverage of the Wyoming primary? 8,700 votes total. You get more than that for a school board election. And it reinforces how dumb it looks for the Democrats not to count Florida and Michigan. Both parties punished those states for holding their primaries early, but the Republicans only stripped half the delegates, and their race is over anyway. The Democrats stripped all the delegates in a race that's very much alive. But Democratic Chairman Howard Dean is determined to show that the Democrats are tough on crime.
You cannot violate the rules of a process and then expect to get forgiven for it.
Causing Democratic flamethrower James Carville to open up.
I think the Democratic Party is going to look absolutely absurd.
But in all this blustering over how horrible it is to disenfranchise voters, how voters deserve a choice, we forget one thing. The parties are under no obligation to accept any state vote. These are private organizations. They can choose the candidates by spinning a prize wheel if they want to. The actual presidential election is not until November. But this is how completely dependent on the two national parties we've become. The wide-open races the people say they want will never happen unless you have a lot of parties capable of running independent candidates in every state.
There's enough opposition to the two parties to warrant more voices.
Yes, which is why everybody's welcoming Ralph Nader to the race, right? Hello?
Maybe this isn't on. Now this.
So, when do you think we can start drywalling?
Well, once we lay down these nagging paycheck calculations, we can put up those payroll deductions and start pouring the tax levies.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why so many businesses nationwide rely on QuickBooks Payroll to easily handle creating paychecks, calculating payroll deductions, and preparing tax filings. So you can get back to what you do best.
You are a contractor.
For over 10 years.
QuickBooks Payroll. Get back to business. Learn more at QuickBooks.com/payroll.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes after the hour. Over the weekend, President Bush made the world safe for America to continue torture. He vetoed the Senate bill banning waterboarding and requiring the CIA to adhere to the Army's field manual.
A revolution never comes with a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will bill you tomorrow. Free peace, food and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never spend you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. The F-15 is a homicide bomber. TV commercial for a popper pill culture. Drug companies circle in like a vulture. Amaraki babies with the G.I. Joe father. 10 years from now, is anybody gonna bother you?
They tell you not to worry about the torture. Because it's keeping you safe so that you can sit on your sofa in front of the plasma TV and just distract yourself. Ray McGovern served at the Central Intelligence Agency and has become a critic of the Bush administration. And he joins us again today on the program. Ray, how are you?
I'm fine, Peter B. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Nobody took me for a dunk in the water. But, you know, this is such a shameful, shameful exercise, and this sordid debate will continue that, you know, is just so ugly, un-American, and un-Christian for an administration that claims to be all of those things. And, Ray, let me just start off here. This is a commentary from The Independent in London, and I'm going to have to work a little bit here because of the way it came through in the email, I have to keep scrolling. It went all in one direction.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, it talks about the president vetoing the bill that would have specified what CIA interrogation techniques can legitimately be used. He says, this says, the president shows no signs of understanding the damage done by giving free rein to interrogators. It is a surefire way to produce gross prisoner abuses of the sort we saw at Abu Ghraib in Baghdad. Mr. Bush may claim until he is blue in the face that we do not torture, but torture is exactly what his administration has facilitated with its disgraceful, relaxed attitude to constraining interrogators, and they're being generous there. The latest veto by Mr. Bush is another example of a recurring theme in his presidency, a disregard for the international rule of law and a fatal indifference to how America is viewed by the rest of the world. This self-declared patriot, who wraps himself in the stars and stripes at every opportunity, has actually done as much as any American in recent years to undermine the values his country claims to stand for. It's just another sorry commentary on the Bush projection of strength and confidence and firmness and take no prisoners, and it's not received in the way he seems to be to believe in his own press releases.
Well, Peter B., I think history will be particularly harsh on our country for tolerating this kind of thing. You know, I don't know how many classics majors you have out there listening, but I'm reminded of Cicero's famous polemic against Catiline. He says, quo usque tandem abutere Catilina patientia nostra, which means,
yes,
my God, how much longer are we going to have to tolerate your infringement on our patience, Catiline, with all the abuses that you have done, the insurrections and so forth. You know, when I heard about the veto, of course the veto was sort of promised, but it just struck me that there is no bound to the illegality and the contempt for law on the part of this president. Now, you know, it gets more complicated than that, Peter B., because people need to understand that contrary to, you know, Jack Bauer and some of the other dramas, torture never, and I repeat, never turns up reliable intelligence information. And, you know, don't take McGovern's word for that. What's really interesting is that when the U.S. Army finished its field manual back in September of 06, the head of Army intelligence got up. This was the 6th of September, and he said this. No good intelligence, this is a quote, no good intelligence is going to come from abusive practices. I think history tells us that.
I think the empirical evidence of the last 5 years, comma, hard years, comma, tells us that, period, end quote. Now, Peter B., that took some guts. Do you know why? Because 2 hours later, right across the river from the Pentagon, the President of the United States got up and crowed about the alternative set of procedures that he had fostered on the CIA and how successful they were, adducing all manner of examples as how they prevented this or that. The examples did not bear close scrutiny. We have a president, in other words, who must have been told by his chief military and intelligence advisors, if they're worth their salt, that you cannot get reliable information from what they call alternative set of procedures or harsh interrogation techniques. And so the question remains, Peter B., and this is the one that American people need to deal with, why then? Why then does Cheney and Bush, do they insist on advertising, okay, advertising openly and implementing torture techniques? And I'll give you two possible reasons. Well, there are three, actually. The first one is that sometimes, Peter B., what you need is precisely bad intelligence information. Think back to just before the war started against Iraq. They needed somebody to tell them that Saddam Hussein was playing footsie with you-know-who,
right?
Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden.
So we set up a dream date between Judith Miller and Curveball.
That too, but they captured this fellow Al-Libi.
Right.
They sent him to Egypt where he was tortured. And guess what he told us? He told us that indeed, yeah, there was cooperation on manufacture of weapons of mass destruction material and so forth and so on. The president used that in his speeches before the war. Of course, Al-Libi, as soon as they stopped torturing him, disavowed all he had said, but it worked. So, number one, sometimes you need bad information. Sometimes it can be really, really handy.
Yeah.
Number two, you know, if they can torture Jose Padilla, they can torture Peter B.
That's right.
They can torture Ray McGovern. They can torture anyone they darn well please, habeas corpus having been suspended. And that is the real terrorism here. That is the effort to make sure that they clamp down on people who might be outspoken against these things. And number three, well, number three is a little difficult to discuss, but let me just say that we intelligence officers, you know, we take analyses and all kinds of insights from all manner of social scientists, including psychiatrists.
Mm-hmm.
And Justin Frank, doctor,
sure,
who teaches at George Washington University Hospital.
Author of Bush on the Couch. He's been on our program.
You got it. Well, you know, I talked to him earlier today, and he said, Ray, you know, just remember that when Bush was a senior in college at Yale, he would take hot coat hangers and sizzle the skin on the buttocks of naked 18-year-old freshmen who were pledging for the fraternity and love it. He'd laugh about it, enjoy it, and when he was interviewed by the New York Times that fall, the fall of 1967, because his father had a famous name and one of the kids complained, he said, quote, "What's the big deal? It's only like a cigarette burn," end quote. Here's Justy, right? This is pure sadism. He even denies its seriousness. But when you think about it for a second, who goes around burning people with cigarettes? This is well documented.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a terrible thing to have to say about a president. But one of our veteran intelligence professionals for sanity, Colleen Rowley of the FBI,
sure, mm-hmm,
the one who blew the whistle there on 9/11.
Minneapolis, uh-huh.
Yeah, she told me, look, Ray, you know, if we had an application for employment, the FBI, and we learned that this applicant had used these coat hangers, or, as has also been documented, had blown up toads with firecrackers,
mm-hmm,
or shot BB guns at his siblings, I mean, he would be that application would be thrown in the circular file immediately. That's a sign of bizarre, that's a sign of sadistic behavior. So I think, you know, can you handle the truth? I guess that's the question here that Jack Nicholson asked. I guess we just need to handle the truth. This is a president who's done all those things. Plus, of course, you know, I don't remember if you all remember, but I remember when in the 1980 campaign,
he was asked in one of the debates with Gore, I guess. He said, "Well, Mr. Bush, you hold the all-time record for hundreds of executions in Texas. So how do you feel about that?" You know, there's sort of like a little gleam came to his eye, and,
right.
and you know, and we know that Alberto Gonzalez was sort of the Lord High Executioner, serving up to Bush truncated versions of appeals for sparing these people. So
well, but they also embrace the culture of life.
Sure, yeah,
and they're oblivious to any contradictions therein.
Well, yeah, and of course they have the mass media, a present company excepted. To foster those lies, you have Jack Bauer on Fox. You've got people have told me that most Americans would sort of wink at torture. That's not so, not yet at least. There's still a majority of us that kind of say, well, you know, some things are intrinsically wrong, like rape and slavery, and torture fits that category. Mm-hmm. So I think we're still safe as long as people get up. Where's our Cicero? You know, where's somebody to get up in the Senate and say, yeah, this is really beyond the pale. We're not going to pass any intelligence authorization bill.
No, we get not Cicero, but Jay Rockefeller, who is so weak on these issues. He's always talking in the passive voice, and he never confronts the real hard issues of the moment. He's one leading the charge to sell out on the FISA law and to give immunity to the phone companies so that we will never know the dimensions of the illegal spying that took place in some cases well before 9/11, but after the Bush administration took office.
Mm-hmm.
And his lame comments about the president's veto. He said, well, I haven't heard of any plot that was busted up because of waterboarding. But, you know, he never comes across in a confrontational manner and challenges the president on the morality of the very discussion that the senator is drawn into.
Yeah. You know, I guess I betray my proletarian background by this remark, but when you're born with a silver spoon, there's a lot you can tolerate. There's a lot you can sort of look away from. And you don't want to just kind of disturb some of your well-heeled colleagues. I think Rockefeller is exactly the worst guy for that job. He's Mr. Milquetoast par excellence, and I think you got to give up his job and let somebody else do the job.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you make of John McCain? Now that he's in a presidential campaign, he is agreeing with the president's position in vetoing this bill. He's got the lamest excuse for it. But he has now just turned himself inside out. If he had any credibility with non-Republicans in the past, his cozying up to Hagee and other religious right figures and his support for this president of torture and other policies, clearly, to pursue his overriding ambition to be president, it's just disgusting, Ray.
Well, yeah, it's hard to stomach. You know, when you look at the political hay that he made back in 2005, when, to his credit, you know, he had that McCain amendment,
mm-hmm.
which said precisely what they're trying to do now, let the whole government, not only the armed forces, but the whole government, including the CIA and all those contractors, let them be bound by the Army Manual on interrogation. Well, he pushed that forward, and this is when I gave my intelligence commendation medal back. Dick Cheney summoned Porter Goss, who was then head of the CIA,
mm-hmm.
and brought him down openly to bang on McCain's door to say, no, no, you have to give us an exception. You can't. You can have this apply only to the military, but leave us an exception so that we can do our enhanced interrogation techniques. Now, what happened was McCain held firm. The bill was signed by the president, but then the president added one of his so-called signing statements, which said, none of the above shall be construed as impinging upon the commander-in-chief's prerogatives under the law to do what he wants about torture, in effect. And McCain didn't say diddly. He didn't say a word. So it hardly surprises me now, when McCain is appealing to a certain constituency, that he would do a flip-flop and say, well, I think the CIA should be able to do this. Yeah, why not? He didn't say anything before why should he say something now? I find it incredibly crass and incredibly unacceptable.
One of my listeners, Dr. Phil Butler, served at the Hanoi Hilton. He actually was there longer than John McCain. And Phil, if you happen to be listening today, I'd welcome your call at 888-5-PETER-B. I'd love to get your comments on this. That's 888-573-8372. We'll continue in a moment with Ray McGovern here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and good news this time around. Monterey, Santa Cruz, and Salinas all currently checking in, stalling accident-free. Just some debris to watch out for. Going to Gilroy northbound, 101 at Maston Avenue. Reports of a couch blocking the middle lane. CHP is going to run a traffic break to get that out of the way. Also in Monterey northbound, Highway 1 after 68, some metal bars apparently scattered in the roadway there. A couple of cars have pulled over with flat tires. 17, as you make your way through the Santa Cruz Mountains, currently problem-free. Of course, everyday slow traffic, southbound 17. As you head on to southbound 1, especially as you make your way through the construction zone. Highway 1 northbound at Emmeline Avenue, the off-ramp shut down for road work. That goes on until the summer, so that may cause delays. And possible delays, Highway 1 in both directions in Santa Cruz from Market Street down to Morrissey Avenue. They're still working on taking down that Branson 40 Avenue overcrossing. This is brought to you by Domino's 2 times Tuesday deal. You got two large pizzas on Tuesday. You got them both for the price of one. You got them hot and you got them to your door. Domino's, you got 30 minutes. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates, especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast, professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a knotty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
Hi, this is Ruben Dosal Jr., author of My Dad's Thoughts, Bits and Pieces of Life, extending to you a personal invitation to attend my reading and book signing at Curves in Hollister, starting at 3 p.m. sharp this Saturday, March 15th. Come and participate with me and other friends and supporters as we celebrate together the possibilities that life, family, and friends offer to us. Please remember the time and place, 3 p.m. this Saturday, March 15th at Curves, just behind the McDonald's at 1715 Airline Highway in Hollister. The easiest way to Curves in Hollister from 101 is to take 156 towards Hollister until you come to Union Road. Make a right on Union Road and follow it for about 4 miles until you come to Airline Highway, also known as Tres Pinos Road. On Tres Pinos Road, make a left and go to stoplight, and you can see McDonald's on the right hand side, and Curve is right behind it. I look forward to seeing you this Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. in Hollister for a very special community gathering.
Eight minutes in front of the hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. Free Speech Zone for the entire hour coming up. And you're welcome to call in with your comments on any issue, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And, of course, the number is toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. We continue with Ray McGovern, a founder of VIPS, Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, served at the CIA and also in Army Intelligence. And, Ray, I'm going to get to see you next week. We're going to be in Washington broadcasting live from the Take Back America Conference Monday and Tuesday. And I'll actually be doing double duty, sitting in for Tom Hartman on Air America, and then our regular show, which is in the evening, Washington time. And then after the conference, we're going to hang around for a day and connect up with Ray McGovern and many of the other great people from Washington, D.C., who contribute to this program by telephone, and many of whom I've never actually met in person. So, Ray, I'm looking forward to that.
So am I, Peter B.
Yeah, it should be great. And what do you drink? We'll have to make sure the bar is
Well, if there's a Guinness around, it is St. Patrick's Day week, you know.
Okay, I'll see what I can do. Now, when I get to Washington next week, will I see the outlines of another Democratic cave-in? After all, the Easter recess is coming up. And in front of a recess, usually the White House jams something really ugly down the throats of the Democrats. It's the FISA law that is currently being danced around. And in the House, I'm hearing two messages, Ray. One is that they're going to stand firm. We talked to Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz on Friday's program, and she insisted that the Democrats will hold firm. But I also hear that there is a kind of a two-bill approach being circulated by Pelosi's camp, which would allow the progressives to say, oh, yes, I voted against immunity, but then essentially they'll conference and reconcile with the Senate bill and let the president have his way.
Well, I'm aware of that so-called compromise, which is really a cave-in. Peter B., I guess maybe you can call me Pollyanna, but I see some hope in the fact that the House finally did stand up on this one and contradicted the Senate and Jay Rockefeller, and that Pat Leahy in the Senate and others really feel strongly about this. And so I live with the hope that they will see their duty and know that allowing these giant telecoms to escape, to escape any kind of accountability for deliberately violating our laws, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, that creates incredible precedent, very much like the precedents created in 1933 in Nazi Germany, where the giant corporations were sort of co-opted by the government or vice versa. And that, my friends, is the beginning of the definition of fascism.
Yes, it is. We're not afraid of the F word on this program, Ray. Nancy in Winters, California joins us. Hi, Nancy. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Hey, I saw you speak in Stockton a couple summers ago, and at that time it was at UOP, and an audience member asked you the big question a lot of us had, that because Congress oftentimes backs down to Bush, and gives him his way, they asked if members of Congress were blackmailed, and you said that yes, that does happen, and you gave an example. And I really don't have a question, I guess. I just kind of want, could you comment on that?
Well, I'd be happy to. Not happy to. It's not a happy thing here. But as you probably know, Nancy Pelosi and the other congressional leaders were briefed on the eavesdropping program and on the torture program. And they brag about it. Nancy brags about having the longest tenure on the Intelligence Committee in the House of anyone, and she's right that she has the longest, but I don't think she should be bragging about it. So what happened in that room in San Francisco, I assume in her district? What happened when that fellow from Verizon or AT&T put those wires together?
Yeah, Mark Klein from AT&T, and yes, it's in her district.
Yeah, it is. Okay. So what did she say? She didn't say anything. So, you know, blackmail may be a little strong, but how is Nancy Pelosi going to fight hard for divulging all the details on these illegal operations when she herself was informed about them and said nothing? It's a very, very delicate situation. I hope that she can see her way clear to rise above this kind of political pressure and do the right thing.
Thank you, Nancy.
Sure.
Appreciate the comment. And Linda in Sacramento is next. Go ahead, Linda. You're on the air.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. I wanted to ask a question about you guys were having a conversation, and mention was made of the prisoner in Texas that booked
executed.
Yeah, executed, and it was mentioned that Bush got a gleam in his eye, but I never heard what his reply was.
Oh, it was the stock answer. We're going to keep these criminals off the streets, and that's the best way to do it. And I think the American people need this kind of strong response to terrible crimes.
Yeah, he offered no apology even for Linda Faye Tucker.
I know what he did in Texas, and it's incredible. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for the answer.
Okay, and thank you for calling, Linda. Ray, just about 30 seconds left, and we are in the process now of leading up to the fifth-year anniversary of our assault on Iraq and the ongoing occupation. Who's responsible, and what should we do as citizens to try to end this thing?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I posted an article today on consortiumnews.com,
It has to do with the impeachment particulars that lie in the House Judiciary Committee on Vice President Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
It's demonstrable what he did to falsify the intelligence before the war. George Tenet in his book confirms that. What further need have we for proof? We need to proceed on what our founders gave us, an orderly political process to impeach and convict Dick Cheney first and then the president.
Ray, thanks for talking with us. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
That's Ray McGovern. I'm Peter B. Collins.
We're talking again with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, I just gave you a nice little chocolate raspberry treat. Can I drink wine and eat chocolate at the same time? Is there a rule against that? Is there a law in France that says I can't?
No, to the contrary. My girlfriends and I sometimes get together and have a treat of chocolate with one absolutely scrumptious wine that we have, which is called Cartagène, which is, again, something that people make in the south of France, pretty much for the family. It's a treat, and they pull it out when you go visit them. You know how farmers are and people are close to the land, and they pull out the thing that they've made and they've kept in their cellar, and the foie gras and the special sausage and all this, and they sit around and they share this little treat with them. It's like communion.
Find out more about organic wines at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. Order by phone toll-free at 888-ECO-WINE. Mention Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. New York Governor Eliot Spitzer says he failed to live up to the standards he set for himself. The politician known as Mr. Clean has been linked to a call girl ring that catered to wealthy clients. Spitzer allegedly had a tryst last month in a Washington hotel room, but apparently it wasn't the first time. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports.
This began as an IRS investigation. According to officials, the IRS was called by a financial institution who noticed unusual movements of money in a number of accounts. When the IRS moved in to start looking at this, they claim one of the accounts belonged to Governor Spitzer. They watched as money, according to officials, was channeled through a series of convoluted transfers, kind of a shell game, if you will, moving money around, until finally the payments reached the prostitution service.
The ring was busted last week with the arrests of four suspects. Spitzer made a brief statement today with his wife at his side. He said he needs time to regain the trust of his family, but said nothing about his political future. WCBS-TV's political reporter Andrew Kurtzman says Spitzer might have to resign.
There have been politicians who have weathered sex scandals, right? Barney Frank had a prostitution ring run out of his home in Washington, D.C. Now he's one of the most powerful congressmen in Washington. You know, Bill Clinton, of course, most famously survived as president. But this may be an exception to that rule. Eliot Spitzer held himself to a higher standard, and that's the major problem here.
Spitzer is the father of three teenage daughters. Another big jump for the price of crude oil, up nearly $3 today to settle in New York at $107.90 a barrel, and gasoline prices keep rising.
I'm Heather Bosch in Seattle, where the average price for a gallon of gas is $3.52, well above the national average. And yes, drivers here have noticed.
Oh, good God, yes. When's it going to end? Try and drive less, but what do?
I sold my car, so that's why.
Is that why you sold your car?
Yeah.
Have you heard prices could be more than $4 a gallon before too long?
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing. I'm seeing it.
Yes. AAA says the price might top $4 in some areas this summer. Barack Obama says he's number one, so why should he think about being number two? Obama rejects hints from Hillary Clinton that he could become her running mate. He told supporters in Columbus, Mississippi today that he's won more states and more delegates, and he's not running for vice president. The Pentagon awarded a $35 billion contract for Air Force refueling tankers to Northrop Grumman and its European partner, the maker of Airbus. But CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv says Boeing will not give up without a fight.
Boeing files a formal protest, you could call it an appeal, and then the GAO, the Government Accountability Office, gets 100 days to re-examine how the Department of Defense made its choice.
The Pentagon says Northrop Grumman and Airbus won on the merits of their proposal. Another bad day for Wall Street. The Dow Industrial's down 153 points to 11,740. The NASDAQ lost 43. This is CBS News.
Today's most fuel-efficient mid-size cars can get about 30 miles per gallon. In a hybrid car, about 50 miles per gallon. But the CSX trains that bring those cars to you, they can move a ton of freight, 423 miles, on a single gallon of fuel. Too bad we can't all drive a train. Go to CSX.com to learn more about our commitment to protecting the environment. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Offer ends 4-12-08. This year, put your tax refund to good use. Turn your 1040 into Sony high-definition 1080p. Visit Sony.com/1040 to find out how you can save up to $400 on a qualifying Sony Bravia HD TV. That's $400 in savings on a Sony Bravia HD TV. So handle your tax return the easy way. Choose TurboTax. Then visit Sony.com/1040 to learn how you can use your tax refund and save $400 on a Sony Bravia HD TV.
A new study links chemical exposures to the ailments suffered by many veterans of the 1991 Gulf War. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has details.
University of California researcher Beatrice Gollum analyzed a wide range of studies of chemicals and pesticides used during the Gulf War and in pills given to soldiers to guard against nerve gas.
When you put the pieces together, it drives a fairly strong conclusion that there is a causal connection between exposure to these chemicals and this complex of multi-symptom health problems that has been referred to as Gulf War illness.
Up to a third of veterans report fatigue, muscle and joint pain, memory lapses, and other problems. This study in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences says many soldiers were genetically unable to process these toxins. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A Minnesota lawmaker proposes a fragrance awareness campaign in the public schools so students understand that the scents they wear can trigger asthma attacks and other health problems in some of their classmates. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
So, hon, how do you want your hair done?
Oh, I just want to try something really different.
Okay, well, if we trim your disorganized finances, layer your expenses, and give your late invoicing some body, you'll look just like a movie star.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily handle routine chores, like organizing finances and tracking expenses, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a stylist, aren't you?
Award-winning.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
I want a healthcare company that helps me stay healthy.
Staying healthy matters. That's why Aetna believes in the power of preventive care. We offer plans that cover a range of preventive services from annual checkups to well baby visits at no cost to our members.
It's like they say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
We want you to know. Aetna. To learn more, go to Aetna.com.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company. Health insurance plans contain exclusions and limitations.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show at 6 minutes into the hour. And this is one of my favorite parts of the show. It's the free speech zone. Who knows who's going to call? What will they talk about? And what kind of provocative opinions will they present? Well, help us unravel that mystery this hour. Grab your phone, even that fancy iPhone, and call me. It's toll-free. I pay the bill every month for the toll-free line, so you don't have to. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Put a one in it. Put a one in front of it. It always helps. Lots to talk about. We spent the first hour talking about pesticides and then delved into the controversy over the light brown apple moth and the aerial spraying that has already hit portions of the Central Coast within the sound of my voice. And the San Francisco Bay Area is slated to be next in the spraying of this pesticide. It's supposed to be a synthetic pheromone, and the public's not in any danger. But People are asking good questions about that, and we had a lively conversation with Will Allen, and then California's Lieutenant Governor, too. And Ray McGovern raised powerful issues in the last half hour about our torture policy, now enshrined by the president, having vetoed the bill banning waterboarding and requiring compliance by the CIA with the Army Field Manual, which bans these so-called enhanced interrogation techniques. But we know it's torture. You can comment on those or any other issues on your mind. This just came across in the last half hour. Democrat Barack Obama ridiculed the idea of being Hillary Clinton's running mate, saying voters must choose between the two for the top spot. And he makes a good point here. Although it may come off as cocky or arrogant, he says, I don't know how somebody who's in second place is offering the vice presidency to the person in first place. I don't either. I think it's remarkable that Hillary, in the last week or so, has made many comments, and they're not offhand or unintentional comments, about the possibility of forming a ticket with Obama as long as she is on top. And she's making the case, I believe, in an ugly and divisive way, that she has more foreign policy experience than Barack Obama. And Katrina, my producer, and I were talking about this over lunch. Katrina is flat-out livid at the way Clinton last week said that she has a long track record and is ready to serve, that John McCain has a long track record on foreign policy, he's ready to serve, and Senator Obama made a speech. Now, I'm insulted by that. And I believe that it is arrogant on her part and very wrong-headed in terms of partisan politics to say that your Republican opponent has the requisite experience and for her to claim falsely, in my view, that she's got the requisite experience and then dissing Obama. A fellow Democrat, may I remind you, Ms. Clinton? I find that very distasteful. And now John McCain is using the 3 a.m. frame to claim that he is the most qualified of the three prospects here. Ammo given by the Clinton campaign, and as I pointed out last week, it's a weapon that is going to be turned back on the Democrat. And I said it would take until the fall for that to happen. McCain has made me right and wrong only in terms of the timing. And so on the one hand, I think Obama is correct, but I do fear that this is going to come off as cocky or having a little contempt for Hillary. Obama correctly said, I'm not running for vice president, I'm running for president of the United States of America. And he told the audience it made no sense for Clinton to suggest that while he's not ready to be president, that she can hint that she might hand him the job that could make him president at a moment's notice. If I'm not ready, Obama asks, how is it that you think I should be such a great vice president? Well, I'd like to hear your thoughts about this. And I would really love to see the Clinton campaign settle down. We've got another 5 weeks until Pennsylvania. And this nomination may not be decided until the convention in Denver in late August. In fact, we're making plans to be there. And I think that we need to really keep our eye on the prize, as Pelosi said to reporters in New York on Friday, and not allow the heat of this primary to bloody one another and give weapons and ammunition to the opposition. And Senator Clinton needs to temper the kind of gloating that she's engaged in right now, because, yes, she won the popular vote in Texas. Obama won more delegates. Complicated process. By the way, I learned over the weekend that there are legitimate reasons why 23 counties in Texas reported no Republican votes for president. They don't actually stage primaries because they're too small and the party can't afford to do it. So that mystery is resolved. But we have seen in the post-election analysis that Clinton won Ohio and Texas, at least in part, due to the meddling of Rush Limbaugh-inspired Republicans who crossed over. Now, it's their right to do that. I am not suggesting that this is a illegal vote caging or the kind of election fraud that we've seen Republicans engaged in, particularly over the last 7 years. But Hillary needs to understand that it's Republicans who helped her win in Ohio and Texas, and they will not be there for her if she's the nominee in the fall. And I think she needs to take care not to roil the waters to the extent that people are holding their noses and running away from either Democrat as nominee in the fall. 888-5 Peter B. Let's get your comments. Also, oh yeah, there's a scandal brewing. The governor of New York, Eliot Spitzer, confessed today. Well, I don't think he quite confessed. There was a report, and then he offered an apology, but I don't think he actually gave us any sort of details. But the report is that he hired a hooker. When he went to Washington, D.C. on a visit over the last few months. And it turns out the hooker apparently is from New York. And it's a violation of a federal law called the Mann Act, which males have been warned about because it relates to transporting an underage person across state lines for sex, as well as a prostitute. And so Eliot Spitzer, a former prosecutor who's burnished his image as tough on crime and, you know, above reproach, had one of those ugly news conferences where his poor wife had to come out and stand beside him. Don't you hate that? And now prepare yourselves, because the tabloid media will make sure we get to meet the hooker. We will not be able to resist that. That is my prediction. Joe in Brookings, Oregon, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yo, I have exclusive news for you. Just a minute ago, literally, Eliot Spitzer resigned. Vanessa Del Rio is the new governor of New York, and I congratulate her.
Who is she?
Well, she's, I've been told by other people she's like a really famous adult film actress.
Oh,
I wouldn't know about that sort of thing.
Well, now, Joe, I don't mind people putting me on, but because of where I am, I don't actually get to hear the network newscasts.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Has Spitzer, in fact, resigned? Or did you make that up?
Maybe I was making that up.
Okay. I can joke with you. I just don't want to. I don't want to mislead listeners, because I can be misled so easily, Joe.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, it's just. I don't know. To me, it's so disgusting that a person would, you know, demean themselves and lower themselves like this. To me, it's disgusting that this prostitute would lower herself to sleeping with this sleazy politician. I don't care if he gave her $1,000 or $5,000 or whatever. I mean, doesn't she have higher standards than to sleep with one of these sleazy two-party politicians? I think the prostitutes, they need to have more taste. They need to have more standards. The thing is, what is the deal with the four prostitutes being arrested, and everybody goes, "Oh, that's okay, that's great." But I guess let's give this guy a deal, the governor of New York. Let's give him a deal. He just agrees to step down, and he won't get prosecuted, and he won't get put in jail.
I think he should team up with Kwame Kilpatrick, the mayor of Detroit. At least I think he's still there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they can send salacious text messages to one another and compare notes on their philandering.
Well, or, you know, if he went to prison, his old friend Marion Barry could, you know, sneak in some drugs. I mean, you know, so everybody can have a good time.
Now, we're not expecting Eliot to tell us that the bitch set him up, are we? We've heard that line before. And maybe he was doing some research. Thank you very much, Joe, I think. More of your calls coming up next. The Free Speech Zone wide open for you. 888-5 Peter B. Let's open up a line right now. There you go. 888-573-8372. I'm your humbled host.
I would walk 10 miles on my hands and knees. Ain't no doubt about it, baby. It's you, I am the beast. I'm Russell with a line. And the grizzly bear. It's my life, baby. But
You're listening to the new KRXA 540. That tough is enough. That tough is enough. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Couple of new problems just popping up here. Chanticleer Avenue south of Madison Lane, Santa Cruz County. An accident. Looks like a vehicle may have gone off the roadway and through a fence. CHP is on the way. For Carmel, Carmel Valley Road at Doris Drive. Getting reports of an accident. Two cars. The left turn lane is blocked out there and fluids all over the roadway. 41st Avenue, Soquel Drive. A two-car crash. Those cars have pulled into a nearby parking lot. The drivers exchanging information. Spreckles Road at San Antonio Drive in Monterey County. An accident with a couple of cars. They're both off to the side. CHP is there taking a report. Highway 17 going through the Santa Cruz Mountains. Got no stalls or accidents to tell you about. Highway 68 currently checking in problem free. And this is brought to you by your genuine Toyota service departments. The Great Corolla Giveaway is on now at your participating Toyota Service Center, where you'll find factory trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. It's the best way to keep your Toyota a Toyota. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
We continue now in the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. I've got one line open if you want to call in. Toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I just got a little more information from the smokinggun.com. They cite the New York Times as having broken this story about New York Governor Eliot Spitzer being entertained by a hooker, a member of the Emperor's Club, and this is all stuff I don't know much about, but apparently there was an investigation into an international call girl ring, And the investigation describes hooker interactions with 10 different men, including one client who paid cash for a February 13th rendezvous, gosh, so close to Valentine's Day, at a Washington, D.C. hotel. And the Times identified Spitzer as client 9. And they said that he was clearly a repeat customer. He went to great lengths to arrange the illicit encounter, choosing to mail money in advance to the ring instead of using a credit card. He also declined to use a wire transfer. Now, using the mail as opposed to a wire transfer is, potentially indictable. It's interstate commerce, and either using the mail or a wire transfer would do about the same thing. But he's smarter than Jerry Springer. He didn't use a credit card. And if you don't know that story, Jerry was the mayor of Cincinnati and was engaged to be married and engaged the services of a prostitute and paid for it on his credit card, and it all became public very quickly. So that's more than I wanted to know. Probably the same for you, too. Huh? Let's go to Will in Elk Grove. Will, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
I was calling about that 3 a.m. ad.
Uh-huh.
Everyone's in night clothes except her. Justin Pearl.
Right.
Where's she coming in at 3 a.m. in the morning? Most of my friends say that she needs a hooker, that she needs a pimp.
Well, let me just say that the whole ad, I think, is bizarre in many ways. It raises more questions than it answers. It invites all kinds of snickering responses, and I've seen them in editorial cartoons. I've heard them from callers on the program, and I've cracked a few of the jokes myself. Because of the public sex life and escapades of Bill Clinton, it's kind of fair game that when Hillary Clinton talks about the middle of the night and who's going to answer the phone, our active imaginations go in a lot of different directions. And I think it's just stupid of the campaign to use it. It appeared to be effective short term. I think it helped her in Texas.
Well, it bothers me that people in Ohio and Texas bought it. If Americans are that naive, stupid, and dumb, I'm afraid.
Well, you have a very good point there, Will. I can't disabuse you of it at all. Thank you very much. Let's go to Laura in Humboldt. Hello, Laura. You're on the air.
Hi. Well, maybe I have an unpopular point of view, but I'll say it anyway. As far as, you said you'd like to hear our responses to Barack's being asked to be VP.
Right. Uh-huh.
And, the idea of him not having any experience but being good enough for vice president, to me, most vice presidents haven't, aren't experienced in the role of being president. I mean, they learn by being there. And I can't help it. I have to go from my heart. And I don't even have, I could give you reasons, but mostly from my heart, I'm mm-hmm. for Hillary.
Okay.
And I listened to Barack, and I don't ever hear him actually answer the questions he's asked with answers. He will just throw back something about the other's position that, doesn't really answer where he's coming from. I don't hear where he is taking a position. He just kind of throws the other person's back. And
well, Laura, I don't agree with you there, because I have heard him, and I've been critical of him in his early speeches for offering kind of overarching ideas without specifics. But in the debate, starting with the one-on-one Hollywood debate and then the Texas debate, I believe that Obama has been very explicit. And I don't agree with you that he is avoiding the questions and just trying to deflect them by criticizing Hillary. He's only been drawn into the critical stuff, I think, in the last 2 weeks because of the way he's been attacked.
I agree, but I just saw him on CNN today. They were playing clips, and I'm not for John McCain, but when asked something regarding I can't make reference to it. He said, we're not gonna, I don't want to be in war for 100 years, and oh, what it was. It was John McCain talking about Al-Qaeda, and, you know, that he, Barack said that he would go in and attack if Al-Qaeda became stronger and had a stronghold. Uh-huh. And his answer to John McCain was, well, there weren't any Al-Qaeda.
Right.
You went in. Well, that wasn't the answer to the question.
No, I think it was a very good retort. Thank you very much, and we can continue to disagree. Thanks, Laura.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, this is J.R. Medina, and I want to thank KRXA and its listeners for supporting my store, PG Liquors. My son-in-law, Chad, and I truly appreciate the wonderful positive response that we have received to our advertising campaign on this station. We urge other business people in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties who want to increase their business at a reasonable cost to call KRXA's sales manager, Larry Rathall, at 394-5792. KRXA provides the best advertising value that I have found for businesses like mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's A Pizza Paradise, where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Yeah. Live from the Left Coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host. Taking your phone calls here in the free speech zone. Just a little break for some rockin' U2 there to help you head home here on a beautiful afternoon in California and Oregon, for that matter. Got an email here, and boy, I'm a little surprised by this one. It comes from CC, and in the subject line it says, Peter B. and Katrina incensed at what? And I had referenced that in our lunchtime discussion, Katrina and I were talking about Senator Clinton's unusual comment last week, where she said, I'm prepared, John McCain's prepared, and then she dismissed Barack Obama by saying that he had just given a speech. And this is, I think, a really dangerous approach, because Hillary Clinton is touting her experience and saying she's more experienced than Barack Obama. And this is another one of these rhetorical pieces that is going to boomerang, and if she's the nominee, who's going to use that effectively against her? The geezer from Arizona. And while his age may be a factor for some voters, if the issue is experience, and if Hillary has made that the issue that wins her the nomination, she will fare no better than Obama. So here's this email, that Senator Clinton has twice the experience in the United States Senate as the jug-eared, pouting messiah. Now, I find this interesting because I don't engage in that kind of name-calling against Hillary Clinton. And there are a lot of people who do. And I don't agree with it. I don't condone it. And I believe that, for the most part, I've avoided engaging in it. But jug-eared, pouting messiah? I think that's really low, and it reflects more on the correspondent. Okay, he doesn't want to be Veep. If Senator Clinton gets the nod, then she should pick Wesley Clark, her fervent supporter, a very likable guy, best general in the last 100 years. Let Barack sulk. Okay. I am not that big a fan of Wesley Clark, but if that's your VP candidate, I'm not going to quibble with you there. You might want to check out the testimony in the Resco trial today, starting to heat up. All right, I will. And I agree that Resco represents a vulnerability for Obama. He used poor judgment in the purchase of his house, and the Resco, Mrs. Resco, actually bought the lot next door. But I don't believe that there is any influence peddling or anything that is going to be shown, and I could be wrong because I don't know all the facts here, but from what's been reported to date, it doesn't appear that Obama did favors for Resco or sold out in a way that will really come back to haunt him. And then finally, are you aware that Republicans for Obama urged their supporters to vote for Obama in Texas? Why don't you bring that up? Well, what actually happened in Texas, let me back up. Barack Obama, over the course of many primaries, most notably Wisconsin, has received many votes from people who ordinarily register Republican and who may be Republicans the day after the primary. So I'm not suggesting that there is chicanery involved. But Rush Limbaugh explicitly invited Republicans to vote for Hillary, and many did take Democratic ballots. In one county in Ohio alone, 12,000 people, a third of the registered Republicans, took Democratic ballots. And the exit polling shows that those ballots split slightly in favor of Hillary, where in the past they were splitting primarily for Obama, like in Wisconsin. So my point is that the people who helped put Hillary over the top in Ohio to a lesser extent than, because the gap was bigger, there was 9 or 10 points in Ohio, but in Texas, were Republicans in many cases. And my major point was that those people will not be there for either Democratic nominee in the fall. But if they do cross over party lines, I think the experience has been shown that on their own, they're more likely to vote for Obama than Clinton. All right, back to your calls now, and let's see, we got Mike in Sacramento up next. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Peter. I want to talk real quick about something that's bugging me about Obama supporters, particularly in the media, complaining about the system in ways that it doesn't help Obama and praising ways that the system does help Obama, picking and choosing which rules they think are unfair and which ones aren't, and sort of claiming righteousness on it. I'll give you a couple examples. One being complaining about the superdelegates and saying how superdelegates, you know, they better not dare overturn the will of the people. Obama leads in the delegate count. Well, the superdelegates aren't fair, but delegates aren't fair either. It's a misrepresentation that this delegate count is some sort of purely representational system when it's not. You know, you have, for example, Obama sent out an email to his supporters after the Ohio and Texas night, and he said, you know, Hillary only netted 4 delegates from that night, whereas Barack gained 30 delegates on Georgia alone when he won that primary. Well, I don't see how Hillary winning pretty solidly in Ohio and small in Texas is 7 times less important than Obama winning big in Georgia. It's just not any sort of fair system, but it's the system that the party's decided to elect nominate its candidate. So it bothers me that the representative somehow as well, he leads in delegates so clearly that's the will of the representative, the will of the people, and it's not. Now, if he ends up leading significantly in the popular vote, I think that's more telling.
Mm-hmm.
But if, you know, if the superdelegates can be convinced by Hillary, which the only way that's going to happen is if she starts tearing off wins here and mm-hmm. she starts winning all these, you know, and she won't have a leg to stand on with them if, you know, let's say she barely wins Pennsylvania and she loses some of these other contests and, you know, there's the momentum is sort of muddled and she tries to say, well, I've won the big states. They're yeah. probably not going to buy it and it's not going to matter. But if she is able to win over a majority of the superdelegates, there's going to be a reason for it. And it's probably going to be because she won big in Pennsylvania. She won some other contests maybe that weren't expected. Obama's looking weak or vulnerable, and she's got the momentum. Now, that's the way the system's supposed to work. So it bothers me when Obama supporters in the media are saying, well, you know, oh, Obama's won more states. Like, mm-hmm. that's somehow indicative of who the stronger candidate is.
All right, Mike, let me offer a couple of comments. First sure. of all, let me acknowledge that both sides are spinning furiously. And both sides are trying to either get superdelegates to remain uncommitted or to become committed to their side. Okay? So I do understand there's politics going on here, and some of it is spin, and some of it is stretching the truth. But let's deal with a couple of factors here. One is that related to the superdelegates, Hillary Clinton has a natural advantage because people who are superdelegates are party leaders. Mm-hmm. And many of them got greased by Bill Clinton, whether it was ambassador to Timbuktu or, you know, an appointment for a loved one or a contributor. You know, a lot of these people have been taken care of by the Clinton machine in the past. To attempt to offset that, in the past year, Barack Obama has donated to the campaigns of superdelegates, elected right. leaders, at the rate of 3-1 over Clinton. All right. I want you to know that I know that, and that I'm not afraid to tell you that I see what's going on here, and that Obama has made a concerted effort to win the love and devotion and the votes of superdelegates. Now, let me also be clear about where we are. Barack Obama at this point is ahead of Hillary Clinton in the popular vote by less than 1 million. Number two, he is ahead of her in committed delegates, and that's a known fact, although the exact amount varies depending on who's counting. So with that, when you also take a look at the upcoming primaries, it appears that neither one of them can win the nomination outright, simply from the committed delegates, even if you include Florida and Michigan and you come up with a mail-in campaign or John Corzine pays for the cost of the election or however it happens, okay? And so there is a game of chicken going on. And these two campaigns are trying to bluff the other one into bailing out. And I was one of those people who said that Hillary ought to get out. And now that she hasn't gotten out, I'll say that she ought to stay in. Because it's not clear who can win this thing, and it may actually go all the way to the convention. So with all that said, I acknowledge your point. I acknowledge that Obama is spinning as much as Clinton and what they are actually after. And what I want to see is that they don't continue to launch these assaults on one another to the benefit of the Republicans now and in the fall. And that is my number one goal at this point.
Well, I don't think the Republicans need any help. I don't think their campaign is going to be a campaign of fear one way or the other. It's going to be, they're going to raise your taxes, they're going to get your kids killed, and they're going to, bring all the Mexicans over that they can. That's going to be their campaign, regardless of what Hillary and Barack say about each other.
Well, I would add one point, that if Hillary is the nominee, we're going to have to hear about Monica Whitewater, the Clinton pardon of Mark Rich, and many other issues on top of the general attack agenda.
And I'd come back and say, with Barack, you're going to have even sleazier and dirtier and more unfair Republican tactics that are going to work much more effectively than they should, but they will work.
All right, Mike, great conversation. Thanks for your call today. How about those super delegates, huh?
Super delegate, won't you supersede my decision? Super delegate, I need your supervision. I can't be trusted to choose my own nominee. Democracy is just too important to leave it up to people like me. So give me my election, 'cause it feels good to check that box. When you've determined how it should have turned out, I'll be right here sucking rocks. 'Cause only when the ballots have all been collected can they be corrected. Superdelegate, won't you supersede my decision? Superdelegate, I need your supervision.
That's Roy Zimmerman. When he goes up there, I worry about him. It's called Superdelegate. Find out more at royzimmerman.com. Jake in Eureka, listening to KGOE. You're on.
Hey, Peter B., how's it going?
Doing okay.
This issue of the superdelegates, anybody who calls themselves a Democrat, like I do, for instance, should be ashamed that the superdelegates are in a position of overturning the will of the voters. The superdelegates were included in the process about 25 years ago, when the Democratic Party, during the ascendancy of the conservative movement of Reagan and Bush, were worried about another McGovern as a presidential nominee. So they decided to, rig the process to give 20% of the delegates to insiders, party insiders, so they can make sure no insurgent Democratic candidate could win the nomination. Unfortunately, this is a year when an insurgent Democratic candidate should win the nomination, not only by the fact that they have an insurmountable lead in elected delegates, but by the fact that according to the polls, Barack Obama is by far the better general election candidate for the Democratic Party. But unfortunately, the insiders, the Clintonites, they seem intent on winning this race by using the superdelegates to overturn the will of the voters, Peter B.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is a complicated picture. And I agree with your central thrust that I don't, and you're also correct on the history. I don't want to see the superdelegates trump the will of the voters as expressed in the most protracted primary season of my lifetime. And at the same time, I would like to see us, after the election, address this. But I don't have a great deal of confidence that we will ever fix the process to the point where you and I would be proud of it. And I also think that you cannot expect a political party, which will always be dominated by its senior incumbent leaders, to change the rules in a way that would disadvantage those senior incumbent leaders. And so it becomes a real mess. And we can talk till we're blue in the face right now, but I don't expect that this system will be changed when we go through this again in 2012.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're probably right, but that's one thing I would suggest to all grassroots Democrats out there, to make as much noise as you can about this issue of the superdelegates, because this is a very undemocratic situation we have, where apparently the party insiders are, you know, going to try to support Hillary Clinton, and there's no way she's going to catch up to Barack Obama in elected delegates. So why Hillary Clinton is out there saying Barack Obama should accept the vice presidential nomination, it's just ridiculous, and I really hope that at some point Hillary Clinton and her supporters do come to their senses and realize that instead of tearing down Barack Obama, they should be trying to support him at this point.
Well, and it's been a little bit whiplash lately, as one moment she's proud to run with him, and the next moment, you know, she and McCain are experienced and he's not. Thank you,
yeah.
Jake.
Thanks, Peter B.
All right, more calls coming up next. The Free Speech Zone underway, 888-5, Peter B. I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA. A couple of new things as we get into our final report this evening. 183 at North Davis Road in Salinas. Getting reports that the turn light not working there. That may be causing delays. In Santa Cruz Highway 1 south of Ocean Street, a two-car crash that is off to the shoulder. CHP not giving us a direction on Highway 1. You may see some heavy traffic as you approach the scene. For Live Oak, Chanticleer Avenue south of Madison Lane, a vehicle off the roadway and through a fence. CHP is on the scene taking a report. The good news there, nobody hurt. For Carmel Valley Road at Doris Drive, we have an accident where a couple of cars are still blocking the left turn lane. CHP and Fire Department on the scene. We have a lot of fluids from these vehicles in the roadway. Highway 17's been great. No problems all afternoon. Same goes for Highway 68. You will see that heavy traffic at the Fishhook, though, southbound 17 as you head on to southbound 1. This is brought to you by Domino's 2 times Tuesday deal. You got two large pizzas on Tuesday. You got them both for the price of one. You got them hot and you got them to your door. Domino's, you got 30 minutes. Have a great night. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us, hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
I have arrived. If they only could see me now, that with hard work and blood from my hands that kept me going, never giving up, and the sweat from my body and the aching bones on my back, and above all, the discrimination that I have been through, to have had a boss tell me to my face that I would never be nothing but a dumb Mexican. If they could see me now, just to see that I was not so, that I was not a dumb Mexican, but a thinking man who I respect, and giving respect back the same way, if they could see me now, that the words that were said to me gave me the strength to prove them wrong, just to say, hey, thank you, for if it was not for your downgrading me, I could not have survived the next chapter in my life. I feel that old man, no matter how they appear to be physically or in appearance, no matter what, given a chance, they might change the world. I know not where the power comes from for me to say or write these things that happened to me, for they just flow out of my mind. If they could see me now, for I am without hate, for I have found my own tranquility, and knowing without a doubt that I have arrived. Yes, if they could see me now.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
Cruising home with an extra hour of daylight. Doesn't it feel good? It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for letting me into your carpool. Up next in the Free Speech Zone, Cara in Brookings, Oregon. Hello, Cara.
Hello. How are you, Peter?
I'm doing better than Elliot Spitzer.
Well, that's probably true. Our weather's probably not as well as yours is either. It sounds like you guys are having a good day. We're pouring down rain here.
Oh, I didn't know that. Sorry. I try not to gloat, you know.
That's okay. I was calling. I'm a Hillary Clinton supporter, but mm-hmm. I'll be okay with Obama if he's my candidate. But I would like to see both of them say that they would have one another on the ticket. And I think that Hillary is in between a rock and a hard place, because if she says, I'll have Obama as my vice president, she can't exactly say, I'll be vice president, because she's running for president. If that I don't know if that makes sense, but
right.
I would like both of them to say they would have one another and unite the party. And if Obama really is a uniter, why can't he just say that he would have Clinton? And I know that might be making a promise that he can't keep, but at least say that he would consider it.
Well, I understand. And let me first say that this whole issue is premature. And it has been introduced by the media because after the two rather conciliatory debates, where at least, you know, they didn't attempt to rip out one another's throat, it was the media people who said, oh, isn't this beautiful? Why don't you make the dream team and run together? And so, to be fair, I don't think this originated from the Clinton camp. But once it was suggested, she has responded to it, and he generally deflected it. And
you don't think that the public wants to know? I mean, isn't it sort of unfair to the public not to know who we're going to be getting as a vice presidential candidate?
Well, Bacara, it never works that way.
I know it never does.
When have you seen? I mean, John McCain has the nomination, and he will not tell you what his intentions are.
Yes. No, I understand the reality. Ideally, we'd like to know that the party would come together, and right now we're pretty evenly split, and
yeah.
I personally would like to know that one would pick the other, or at least consider it in
okay,
order
but,
to
but
have
let me just, let me, and I'm not trying to be mean or petty or personal here, but think
okay.
of it from Barack Obama's point of view. Would he want to run with the Clinton machine, which includes Bill? Okay, exactly what do you do with Bill? If Hillary is your vice president, then where is the former president in the seating chart and in the, you know, the task diagram, the hierarchy? And so it's much harder, if you can appreciate this, for Obama to consider, abandoning his quest for president in order to become a vice president on a ticket that, you know, he's not completely comfortable with, and it's unclear, you know, what role Bill Clinton would play, and therefore, where does the vice president fit in? Does he get to reorganize government like Gore did?
I think that's coming from a person who's not necessarily, a thought that people would not be in support of Bill Clinton being in the White House, and for some others that would support that, then it's not necessarily a.
Well, but she's never addressed that, okay? We don't know.
Right.
She talked about sending him on a trip with Poppy Bush, and Poppy said, no way, I'm not going on that trip. And so that's all we know. And again, it's the timing of this. It's wrong for either one of them to be offering that to the other. I think they should both be talking with John Edwards, because he could really change the dynamic in Florida by committing his delegates to one candidate or the other. And I also think he could shift the national dynamic, too. Cara, great to talk with you. Call me again, please. To Diallo in Sacramento, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
How you doing, sir?
I'm okay, thanks. Go ahead.
I just wanted to make a comment just in regards to the whole situation on Barack Obama and the superdelegates. And I don't understand, as far as Democrats, why we, I mean, have such this dispute. As far as my opinion, I don't see it as a race that is tied. I mean, the man is leading in delegates. He's leading the popular vote by almost a million votes. And
no, it's 400,000 today.
It's about 400,000 today. He's still leading in the popular vote.
Mm-hmm.
He's leading in all three categories. He's more than doubled her as far as the states won. And I'm just not clear how, I mean, you have her make any statements as far as, since she is in second place, now she should be the winner, and he just takes second and become the vice president. and that seems to be accepted among so many Democrats, and how the rules just want to be changed in the middle of the game.
Well, I think there is some chutzpah involved here for Hillary, as you point out, and as Barack has pointed out, for the number two to be saying, oh, yeah, the front runner, he ought to be my vice president.
No, I completely agree. But I think, again, as Democrats, I mean, going for Hillary or going for Barack, you have to draw a line as far as, I mean, we're in the point now where it's just not making any sense. That's not even a logical statement.
Yeah.
I mean, like people say, well, should Barack drop out? Why would you drop out when you're in the number one spot?
That's where
she is trying to be.
Yep.
So dropping out in the whole situation on these.
It's a game of chicken, and the spinning is happening from both sides, Diallo. We're going to sit back and watch it, and I thank you for your comments today. Take care. We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same great radio stations. We'll kick off the show in our first hour with a live report from Venezuela on tensions in Latin America.
Keep smiling until...
We're talking again with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, I just gave you a nice little chocolate raspberry treat. Can I drink wine and eat chocolate at the same time? Is there a rule against that? Is there a law in France that says I can't?
No, to the contrary... my girlfriends and I sometimes get together and have a treat of chocolate with one absolutely scrumptious wine that we have, which is called Cartagène, which is, again, something that people make in the south of France, pretty much for the family. It's a treat, and they pull it out when you go visit them. You know how farmers are and people are close to the land, and they pull out the thing that they've made and they've kept in their cellar, and the foie gras and the special sausage and all this, and they sit around and they share this little treat with them. It's like communion.
Find out more about organic wines at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. Order by phone toll-free at 888-ECO-WINE. Mention Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Elliot Spitzer doesn't say what he did, but he's sorry.
I apologize first and most importantly to my family. I apologize to the public, whom I promised better.
The New York governor has been linked to a high-priced prostitution ring that was busted last week. With his wife at his side, he made a very brief statement today saying he'll dedicate some time to regain the trust of his family. But he offered no hints about his political future, which until now was very bright. CBS News correspondent Byron Pitts reports.
From assistant DA to New York State Attorney General, Spitzer built his career taking down mobsters, white-collar criminals, closing down prostitution rings. But it was his assault on Wall Street and corporate corruption that sealed his national reputation as the standard-bearer of justice and morality. He even proclaimed himself the Sheriff of Wall Street. In this interview on 60 Minutes in 2002, he showed contempt for those who flaunted the law.
I think that there was a culture of, if we can do it and nobody is raising a fuss or a protest, let's just keep doing it.
What some called arrogance then, humility now.
Barack Obama says he's not running for vice president. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
On the eve of the Mississippi primary, where he's hoping to increase his delegate lead, Barack Obama finally answered the increasing talk from Senator Hillary Clinton and her camp that he could end up as her running mate.
I'm just wondering, because if I was in second place, I could understand it. But I'm in first place right now.
Obama said the Clinton campaign is trying to hoodwink voters into thinking that he should end up in the number two spot when he says he's running for number one. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Jackson, Mississippi.
Baghdad is safer these days, but that's not to say it's safe.
A suicide bomber wearing an explosive vest killed five U.S. soldiers on a foot patrol today in Baghdad. Three others were wounded, along with an Iraqi interpreter. It appears that the troops were simply walking in the street and the bomber walked up and detonated the vest.
CBS News correspondent Alan Pizzi in Baghdad. The number of U.S. military deaths in Iraq is approaching 4,000. The countdown proceeds for a rare nighttime space shuttle launch. Let's go live to the Kennedy Space Center and CBS News correspondent Peter King.
Well, Bill, people along the East Coast may be able to see Endeavour on its way to...